find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken. Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink his super sauce and throw the bad guys for a loss, and he will bring them in alive and kick it. There is one thing you should learn when there is no one else who can.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, Zodling, Wigger, and Mamzer ass clouds across the fruited and nutted Zod plain in the open air coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zod Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the pitiful few remnant, the found sheep of the house of Israel, greetings. This will be the movement turd number 72.5 of the evening of 2nd June 2011. And there's a number of things going on in the world as usual, but also within the movement. Just recently, as in this afternoon, I found out that David Pringle was Ashkenazi asswipe, a.k.a. Ashkenazi activist. Now, this big fat doofus has been yapping shit about me for some time now. And that's to be expected because he's a National Alliance fucktard. And all these National Alliance people were the most degenerate possible of all your tards. But, you know, I mean, they would claim to be an elite. And you have, of these people, you have Hadding, a.k.a. David Spidell. He's a total ass clown who's been talking shit about Edgar Steele. And you have not only David Rydell, you have a number of other clowns who were with the National Alliance. And he had been talking shit about me. I think back in 2005 he was making a big deal about me being a child molester or something like that. And I was looking at his posting for the first time in 3 weeks. And I looked at the very bottom of the comments, and what it said was that Mr. Pringle had been arrested for child molestation. Now, naturally, you have all his enemies and the rest of the tards calling him a chomo already, a convicted chomo or something like that. But, in any case, from what I gather, I don't have much use for Mr. Pringle. But, folks, I have been in Mr. Pringle's shoes. Well, I was innocent, essentially. Zog went ahead and stole my grandchildren and got one to allegedly claim that I kissed his penis, something that could not be proven one way or the other. And for 3.5 years, I was locked up in a jail or in that house, essentially treated and, in some cases, had 4 teeth broken out and another one chipped. And, folks, I am hurting from these teeth right now. I'm going to end up having to have them all pulled and probably have dentures on the top. So, folks, let's say this matter had gone to a jury and they had not abused my grandson so much to where he got tired and figured out that they were out to lie to, you know, lie to him, so that he didn't lie on behalf of them against me. Mr. Pringle might very well be convicted by a jury of Uyghurs who hate the fact that he's a racist. Also, we end up getting a letter from Edgar Steele, who has posted about essentially his case in the Bonner County Jail. And from what I gather, Bonner County has come up with all this crap about how you cannot get certain reading material. The same thing happened in Newton County against myself. We will not allow you to have racist, you know, material unless we decide that it doesn't look good for you or something, like when Morris Gallette, like a chicken shit, went ahead and kicked me out of his church. Wordless bastard. Okay, we're about to have Russ come on here. Folks, let me just go ahead and take a break. But essentially, that's what we're going to go ahead and discuss, is what's going on in the movement, what's going on with Edgar Steele, David Pringle, and how, you know, a resistance code of conduct, and I'll have Russ here in about, a couple minutes. Hail victory, folks.
Yes, I admit, we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a Wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Wiggers keep remembering how good dog used to be. Being caught long ago, afraid of memory. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop.
Well, we've had some hot weather here also. Today was 99 degrees.
Okay, folks. All right, folks, this is the segment, The Movement Turd, in which I'll talk to Russ Walker. Russ Walker has been to Europe a number of places. And maybe he'll tell us where he was, but he just got back. He took a nap, and I guess he's a little bit rested to where he can go ahead and do an interview. Tonight's show is that I actually have some movement news. The bowel movement has some things going on all of a sudden, and then other times you end up having where nothing much goes on other than the typical silliness that is common to a bowel movement. But the two main things is that this guy named Ashkenazi, that I call Ashkenazi Asswipe, he has a blog called White Reference. He calls himself Anchorage Activist. I found out he's actually a National Alliance retard named David Pringle, who essentially is just a big fat commando keyboard warrior, but he's left up with what's left of the National Alliance, and he'd been gone for about 3 weeks, and from what I heard, I went ahead and found out his name, and he'd been talking crap about me. He talked crap about me in 2005, and then he decided that it wouldn't do him much good. But just being a National Alliance target, but from what I gather, he's been accused of child molestation charges. And folks, I wouldn't wish that on anyone except, well, regime criminals. I mean, I have nothing wrong with essentially grabbing regime criminals and their families and torturing them and putting them to death here and letting them have exactly what the hell they have dished out. I don't have any mercy on that. But I was going to go ahead and discuss a sort of a white nationalist code of conduct. And folks, as far as Mr. Pringle's concerned, I think he's innocent of the charges. I know how easy it is for them to just simply make stuff up. And even if you are on your guard, they're just waiting to grab your children and do whatever the heck to them in order to go ahead and destroy your family and put you away, because it happened to me. So I feel for Mr. Pringle, and for the record, even if Mr. Pringle does get railroaded or convicted, I'm going to think that he's innocent, because part of the white nationalist code of conduct is you do not believe anything that Zog tells you, you do not give any legitimacy to a Zog court. And the second thing is that Edgar Steele has written a letter, has gone ahead and written a letter, and it's on Covington's blog, it's on, well, I found it over on 2.5 Mamsers with Obagender, Bender, and the rest, to where Edgar Steele was finally talking about his trial and how he regretted not speaking out like he should have done. And as a lawyer, he trusted lawyers, and he's been pretty well screwed by that. Now, he had decided he would not go ahead and make a hard time or make a actual sue against the Bonner County jail, because just like all these jails here, what you got is you got some little pig who got a little big head to where he believes he gets to determine who gets to read what. And in the case, in my case, I had a whole bunch of little pigs, and Sheriff Ken the Bagman Copeland decided that on some cases I would not receive any racist letters. Now, Edgar is in the 9th U.S. District, which is Liberal 9th, and the 9th U.S. Circuit, you know, Court has repeatedly, ever since Procunior versus Martinez, has ruled that jails cannot censor any mail at all. The Liberal 9th says, guess what? The black Muslims or something can get it, all their kill whitey newspapers that they want. Aryan Nations people can go ahead and get whatever the heck they want to in prisons. And since they can get them in prisons, they can get them in jails, because guess what? They haven't been convicted of anything just yet. So the Liberal Knight rules that you can go ahead and get anything. Now, the U.S. Fifth Circuit, which is Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, rules that you can't get anything. And the 8th U.S. Circuit, where I'm at in Missouri, rules that it is a matter to be decided on literally a case-by-case basis. So if they go ahead and mess with your mail, you end up having a federal lawsuit. But Edgar Steele should not have any problems in getting any of his mail whatsoever, convicted or not convicted. And what happens is that he decided he was going to go ahead and back off, because when he'd go to, when he finally gets sentenced in August, they threatened to send him to Seattle, Tacoma Federal Detention Center, to where his wife would, you know, hardly be able to go ahead and visit him, driving from northern Idaho, about 400 miles. So they decided that they wouldn't make any complaints about that. But from what I gather, he found out that he was going to be sent, you know, because the local jail didn't want to dick with him anymore. They wanted to go ahead and do whatever they wanted. They didn't want him suing them federally. So as a result, they decided to go ahead and move him. And I think Edgar decided that, hey, since I'm going to be moved, I might as well start this letter. So he went ahead and sent a letter out, from what I gather, yesterday. And it has been received and scanned at the Free Edgar Steele thing and a number of places here. So anyway, some interview I'm giving you, Russ. That's pretty well what I wanted to talk about tonight. So what's your take on it?
Well, again, I know nothing about Edgar Steele.
Okay.
I mean,
and you know even less about David Pringle.
I never heard of his name in my entire life.
I didn't know who that clown was until what he does is that he opens his little blog, and you have all these clowns fighting on it, fighting on it, like clowns they are. They fight on it, And essentially, that thing came out in the comments section today.
What I don't understand was why is Steele in a federal system? If he allegedly threatened his wife, wouldn't that be a state issue?
Ah, but Edgar Steele goes ahead and points that out here. He points out that, guess what, his Larry, the so-called Aryan Nation's handyman, you know, who has a cousin, Daryl. He was his cousin Daryl, and I don't know if he has another, you know, brother named Daryl, you know, which is a sort of a joke from the Bob Newhart show of a number of years ago. Essentially, what he said is that the guy found a little stash, and since he's a thief, he stole, you know, he got into his stash and sold $45,000 of Edgar Steele silver at $18 an ounce, and then he claimed that, Edgar paid him $10,000 in advance, you know, to go ahead and kill his wife. And what they did is that since supposedly his wife drove her SUV or Suburban or whatever, across the state line to visit her mother in Washington State, that therefore it was an interstate thing, and therefore the FBI gets involved. And essentially what I smell is just another little setup of white nationalist people. But in any case, well, yeah, I'm sure there's just too much wind in the mic. I'm looking at this. What happens is I have a fan going here in the background, okay?
Well, we can't discuss the case.
We can discuss the case. He's already been convicted.
Well, it's ridiculous that what his wife did gives the federal government jurisdiction. That's effectively what they're saying.
Well, essentially, they went ahead and made jurisdiction. Now, I go ahead and look at this sort of thing, and you have all these people complaining about Zog doing this and Zog doing that, about our wonderful leaders, be it state, local, federal, doing what they want to do. Now, my entire show has been that you not only have a degenerate leadership, you have a total degenerate population. And my solution is the Great Tribulation. Since I believe that 90% of so-called whites are just nothing more than worthless wiggers who need to die, the solution to saving the white race is a civil war, is a Great Tribulation, to where this cancer is essentially burnt out by means of civil war. Now, right now I'm looking in the background to the Hitler channel about the Civil War and how they were bitching about 612 or 640,000 actual known casualties in the Civil War. But, folks, I'm talking about better than 90% of Uyghur casualties being necessary in order to save the white race, because 90% of Uyghurs are worthless. So when I go ahead and look about what happened to Edgar Steele and what happened in the little show trial and what happened to me, I mean, essentially, the local pigs went ahead and got my grandchildren and got the weak-minded one to allegedly claim I did a number of things to him, which didn't happen. My solution is simply to grab these regime criminals' children and torture them to death. And they said, well, the Uyghurs won't let you do it. And the answer is, no, they won't. That's why the Uyghurs need to die. And essentially, once you get to where you end up having an open and shut policy that if any Uyghur supports a regime criminal, they and their families die. You don't, you know, I mean, I believe in police brutality. The only difference is, I believe in torture. The only difference is that I believe that's necessary to purge the entire Uyghur race.
Well, this is the Phineas solution, is what you're suggesting, basically.
Well, the Phineas solution is that Phineas actually killed this sinning Midianite princess and sinning Benjamite prince in order to stop what was essentially called a
plague.
Well, it's a plague. I don't know if it was sort of like super AIDS or super herpes or something like that, but what it did is that it was sweeping.
It was interracial marriage.
It was sweeping. It wasn't interracial marriage, Russ. The Midianites became part of what's called the Arabs. And, no, I'm not going to shut my door. If you let the dog run in, okay, well. The little puppy dog is just resting on my lap here he's just resting like a little puppy dog for his soul. So I'll go ahead and shut the door. In any case, what Phineas did is he actually stopped the plague by going ahead and, making it quite clear that no matter who you were, be a Midianite princess or a Benjamite prince, you would be put to death. Now, the Midianites were descended from Abraham's third wife, Keturah. And they had 12 sons. And the term Arab meant the same thing as mulatto or mestizo. It meant mixed. So you already had these Arabs sort of mixing already. But the Midianites at that time were not a racially mixed people yet. What they did is they worshipped the various Baal gods, the various Baal deities.
It was a violation of the law.
It was a violation. It wasn't, you have these people ever since Richard Kelly Hoskins came up with Vigilantes of Christendom. You have these people believing that Phineas killed this Benjamite and this Midianite princess because of race mixing. It wasn't race mixing. Moses' wife, was second wife, I guess you could say. Not his Ethiopian wife. His second wife, Zipporah, was a Midianite. And her father was a tribal chief or a prince of Midian. And they lived in the south portion of the Sinai, and you used to have people thinking that Mount Sinai was in the northern portion of the Sinai Peninsula. Actually, they were wandering for 40 years. It was called the Wilderness of Sin from the Sinai, and they sort of figure out that Mount Sinai is a little sort of plateau which rises up about 2,000 feet above the surrounding wilderness basin. So, no, it was, Moses' wife was Mesopotamian. Well, no, she's a Midianite. Jethro was a Midianite prince here. So it was not race mixing to mix with the Midianites. It was not because of race mixing that this happened. See, what happens is that Balaam was a prophet who knew sort of God, but he wasn't a very obedient or very nice prophet. He got money from this Midianite prince who was worried about, what am I going to do about these 3 million people wandering around in the wilderness? What am I going to do if they decide to attack me? And essentially he got sent to curse them. Well, instead of, when he set out to go ahead and do, because he's a whore, he's a Baal priest, remember the story about the jackass, who spoke here? He wants to start beating the jackass because what happens is that the jackass seeing an angel of the Lord of Yahweh with a sword, and the jackass was able to see it, and since the jackass went ahead and gave old Balaam a piece of its mind here. Said, hey, I've been a faithful jackass to you. I've gone ahead and not done any jackass stuff here. I've been nice. I've carried you about here and carried your pack and all this sort of thing, and you're beating me for no good reason. I'm trying to save your life, you idiot. And then he was able to see that angel. Essentially, the angel told him, all right, Balaam, don't you be pulling any crap. Don't you be pulling any crap. You're not going to do what you're going to do here, but you go on here, and guess what? Yahweh will tell you what to say. And sure enough, he sent him to a mountain overlooking the Israelite camp. And instead of cursing Israel, Balaam blessed Israel. And essentially this king who paid out good money was all annoyed about it. And Balaam told him how to go ahead and get around it. He said, look, you have a whole bunch of prime Midianite pussy, which is real nice looking. We'll just go ahead and convert them to Baal worship and get them away from Yahweh, through all this Midianite pussy. And that's exactly what they did. And that was, that's what Phinehas did. He did end this biblical plague. But I guess we're getting on to biblical topics here, and there's nothing wrong with getting on to biblical topics. This story is told in the Exodus. I don't know offhand what it is here. But then
you tell me exactly why did Phinehas kill that Midianite woman? What was the reason he killed them?
Well, the reason he killed them is that there was a plague going on because these women were sent to, essentially by means of their pussy, to go ahead and get these stupid Israelites to turn away from Yahweh and start worshiping these Baal gods.
So you're not telling me that wasn't a racial mixing, do you?
It was a racial mixing because the Midianites were descended from Abraham's third wife, Keturah.
Okay? So it was a racial mixing.
It wasn't racial mixing. But you have these idiots who think they know everything, be it Jay Faber, be it Eli James, be it Finkelschini. Well, Finkelschini knows he doesn't know anything about the Bible. He just goes ahead and lies here. But you had idiots like Jay Faber and a bunch of... See, what happens is way back in 1982, 1983, Richard Kelly Hoskins, who's a one-seed liner, wrote this book called Vigilantes of Christendom. And he said that Phinehas stopped race mixing. Well, no, it wasn't a matter of race mixing. It was a matter of getting them away from their God. Throughout the time, you hear about Baal worship. And what this Baal worship was is that you would have, instead of worshiping Yahweh as their God, who didn't have any graven images, who didn't have any statues dedicated to them, none whatsoever, what they would do is that they would go to the equivalent of worshiping Zeus or Mercury or Apollo or whatever. And essentially what these gods were is that they were called Baals, which meant god lords or something like that. And what they would do is that they would worship gods in humanity's interest, because guess what? Woden and Zeus essentially were gods who would do a whole bunch of stupid stuff here and essentially have dealings with other gods who would always, they'd always be at war with each other. They were just men who were raised high. And throughout white history, you have had whites or Uyghurs worship themselves. Essentially what they do is they create gods in their own images and then raise them up here. And Yahweh wasn't having any of that. There's not going to be any Zeus worship because many of the Greeks were descended from the Judeans and from the Danites. Pastor John Britton says that the tribe of Dan, most of the tribe of Dan was essentially, didn't go through the 40 years wandering. They were busy motoring and boating around between Phoenicia and, Britain. So.
I've heard that.
The thing about it is that John Britton's doing fine. John Britton's doing well. I'm not going to pretty well say anything more of that, but essentially until his trial, after 8.5 years is over, after June or something like that, John Britton's been told by his lawyer that he cannot be on the show at all.
That's okay.
Okay. So anyway, John Britton, he's doing fine, but no, the crime of Phinehas was not race mixing, but getting on to it, what you end up having is, I got something from Robert Friends, Eric Thompson. And he has a problem with Yahweh. He was bitching about how bloodthirsty Yahweh was, and about one time you had a battle in which 453,000 Israelites perished. And I look at it and say, so? I mean, if Yahweh is the God of Israel, he can go ahead and determine what he does with his people. Yahweh rules absolutely. It's not for us to go ahead and question Yahweh, is it?
I agree with you.
Okay. So, in any case, as I look at it, the problem, and that's why I keep on saying, unlike most people in this bowel movement of ours, I do not believe that the solution is a political one or even a military one. The problem is Uyghurs. That's why I keep on doing the Uyghur problem. It's Uyghurs who allow this sort of thing to happen. And then, as a result, they are cursed. And the curses that you go ahead, you know the Old Covenant, which was, most of the time the Old Covenant was what was given by Moses, and part of it was the Ten Commandments, but also Moses had in the five books of the law, where Moses went ahead and went to great detail about what to do and how to do things. And essentially the deal was in the valley below Mount Sinai is almost sort of like the Ten Commandments, to where here's Moses going ahead through Aaron speaking to the children of Israel and telling, this is the benefits that you get from a marriage contact with Yahweh. You will have long life, you will have strong children, happy children, you'll have a happy life, you'll have limited government. I mean, after all, like Jesus Christ says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy, correct?
I agree with you.
But on the other hand, let's say the Israelites decided that they were too good to obey Yahweh. What would be the curses? One of the curses would be is that you would be brought very low, and the racial alien would be brought in and raised very high over you. And that's exactly what's happening in this country.
Oh, absolutely right. It's not just, it's in Europe also.
Europe,
world.
In many cases, it's throughout the white world.
That's right.
It's throughout the white world. Well, guess what? We believe that by now most of the Western and Northern European countries are descendants of the lost 10, actually all 13 tribes of Israel. You see, when Israel, it was not just 10 tribes which got deported by the Assyrians in 721 to 719. It was every tribe, including the number of Judeans, because you read that, I think it was Sennacherib came down.
721 10 cities of Judah, something like that.
Everything except Jerusalem and five fortified cities in Jerusalem. If you lived in an unfortified town or farmstead, and folks, just like happens even today, is that what you would have is that you would have people gathered in small hamlet of about maybe, in many cases just have one family, maybe two families that are allied, and essentially they would live in a small hamlet with a road going by it in some cases. And essentially what they would do is the people would get up every morning and go out to work in the fields. You had the same thing happen during the medieval era. Most times they'd live in town. Sometimes these towns would be fortified, or there would be a castle to where people could run in for safety. And in this town, there would, in this fortified town, but the fields were not walled, the fields were not protected, and you have the same thing which happened in ancient Israel. And unless you lived in Jerusalem or those five towns, you were taken up. And that included people who were living in Judea, correct? So actually, it's not just 10 tribes of Israel, it's all 13. And we believe, Christian identity belief, be it one seed line, be it dual seed line, believes that America, England, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Germany, what have you, is the, quote, lost 10, actually all 13 of the tribes of Israel, correct?
Right.
Okay. Someone went ahead and said Croatia and Finland. Generally, you would have Israelites who stayed behind, but essentially they got overwhelmed and Mamzerized in Eastern Europe. So we do have our doubts, but essentially the northern and western, quote, areas of Europe are also the lost 13 tribes of Israel, okay? So, getting on with it, my point is that rather than worry about what happens, essentially, Edgar is just a casualty. Mr. Pringle, even though I don't much care for him, he's a National Alliance retard, and he acts, equivalent. I mean, essentially, I don't wish this on Mr. Pringle, and I will believe in Mr. Pringle's innocence. There's some people who said that he needs to go ahead and address this issue, and I agree, you do need to go ahead and address this issue. What was it? 7 years ago, after my grandchildren were taken, I was talking to, one of my stalwarts, Jim Floyd from Alabama, and I called up Jim, and Jim is not doing very well, but he's 73, years old, and 4 years ago, around the 4th of July, I thought he nearly died from these chemotherapy treatments. And he survived the cancer, but he's been ailing ever since from the chemotherapy treatment. And Harold Covington has mentioned Jim Floyd as being quite the activist. And I was talking to, I was talking to a number of people. And Jim Floyd says, well, Martin, maybe you oughtn't to bring this up. And I said, no, I need to bring it up because it's going to come out sooner or later. And I don't want to be accused of trying to hide something. And Mr. Pringle is going to have to go ahead and say what these charges are and answer them. I mean, if he's smart. So I don't know if Mr. Pringle's listening or will be listening or not. Probably not. But essentially, pretty well. That's why I don't like Mr. Hadding. That's why I don't like David Spidell. Because David Spidell plays the little traitor's game that Edgar Steele is guilty. Guess what? He got found guilty by a jury of white chicken peers in Idaho. Well, folks, that don't mean jack shit to me.
He got convicted by what?
I call a jury of his white chicken peers.
Well, that's true.
That's true. He got convicted by a jury of Whiggers. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you're a Whigger. You're a Whigger, and you vote for the government. Essentially, you sided with that government. You're on the side of somebody who went ahead and buried one of these regime criminals or their families who we set out to die. And that's how things were taken care of in ancient Israel. You went ahead and touched the corpse of a regime criminal and his family who was sent out to die for the crimes of their father, or grandfather, or great-grandfather, and you went ahead and buried them, you and your family would be put to death as well for siding with that. That is how the bloodline was kept purged. So essentially, what happens is that the population learned that guess what? If you're going to be a subordinate people, you better at least keep an eye to the new things that are happening, not go ahead and go whoring after the rest of it. Okay, no chat privilege here.
Well,
okay.
In almost all convictions, that the people side with the government anyway. Yeah, they're almost towards almost all these trials.
Oh yeah. Well, what happens if you're looking through these juries here? I've been convicted by three juries. One of trespassing from this libertine crap. One for driving without, with a burned out headlight. It was illegal. And one for, not wearing a seatbelt. I went ahead and carried that to trial too. But, in any case, you end up having a bunch of criminals. And essentially, if you're a Whigger that sides with Zog, you need to die with Zog. You and your entire family. Or settle that if you're going to go ahead and side with the public service, you need to go ahead and understand that you need to be treated as you are a regime criminal. You see, I don't believe, and you've had this for years and years and years. I've been in the bowel movement for what, since 1993, 1994. I've been in one way or another associated with various members of the bowel movement for what, 18 years now. And every single time you have some wigger, he goes ahead, and, this fearless leader, he's going to go ahead and save us, be it Ron Paul, be it Charles Duke, who was a state senator, be this other guy, this other state legislator. And essentially, every single time, these people turn out to fly real high, and then they go ahead and betray people. And folks, you're not going to have any benefit from any fearless leader or anything like that here. My ministry is essentially in turning wiggers feral and appealing to the natural leaders. And you got to realize that only 1 in 20 wiggers have any real natural leadership ability. That's why it gets paid so well when it gets found. I mean, I could be a rich man if I wanted to be, but then I'd be just like Moses. Unlike Moses, I would be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. I decided not to do that. I decided to support my people and my race. And in many cases, I used my leadership abilities and my writing abilities to go ahead and do that. And what I try to do is find the 10,000 warlords and teach them that even if they do not agree with Christian identity, even though they do not agree that there is a God, they can use the principles of dual seed line Christian identity as the white man's racial hate religion to go ahead and justify anything and everything that they do. You see, rather than believe that there's a social contract, which is horseshit, I mean, our Western world, I mean, probably the Civil War, which is determined, and you've had civil wars, about a month or so ago, and I need to bring that thing up. We talked about the first Israelite Civil War, the Civil War against the tribe of Benjamin. But you've had civil wars throughout white history to where people decide which elites they're going to follow, which new leaders they are going to follow. And in American history, you have the belief of John Locke and the rest of these people that there's a sort of social contract. Well, folks, how is there a social contract? Are you a signatory to the Constitution, Russ?
No.
Are you a signatory to the Bill of Goods?
The Bill of Rights?
Well, I call it the Bill of Goods.
Okay.
But, are you a signatory to the Bill of Goods?
None of us are.
That's what Lysander Spooner said. Now, Lysander Spooner was a libertoon, a proto-libertoon, but he made good sense here. He said the Constitution is of no effect. It don't mean nothing. It's just nothing more than just a bunch of... It's just a bunch of what? A bunch of Masonic Jew lawyers, Masonic non-Jew lawyers. But what a bunch of scumbags meeting in secret who didn't obey the deal which they were sent. They were sent just to amend. They were sent just to amend the Articles of Confederation, and what they did is they got in there in secret proceedings. They created something that they would say that they would give to the people and have them ratify. Well, folks, by skullduggery, they managed, a bunch of Federalists managed, they lied about what would happen. And my hero was Patrick Henry, because Patrick Henry said, I'm not going to attend, I smell a rat. And Patrick Henry was an anti-Federalist. And this was during the militia movement. I pointed out how all these so-called constipation militias are no such thing, because Article 1, Section 16, goes ahead and takes away the militia, takes it away from the state governments and gives it to the federal government. Anytime the federal government wants to, they can go ahead and federalize the so-called National Guard, which is the so-called state's militia. Correct?
True.
Yeah. That's what they did. That's what they threatened with old George Wallace and that Arkansas Governor Fabius or something like that. Robus. Well, they essentially threatened, well, guess what? If you call out your National Guard, we'll federalize it, and therefore it won't be your state, you know.
They did federalize it.
Well, they did, yeah.
57.
Yeah, they federalized it, so essentially they went ahead and put that state militia, so-called state militia, under federal rule to where, guess what? The state militia cannot go ahead and rebel against the federal troops here. Essentially, during the Civil War, look at this, most of these state militias, if you were a state militia in Mississippi, or Louisiana, or Texas, or Georgia, guess what? Did all these state militias, which were supposed to, under the Constitution, be federalized? Was Abraham Lincoln able to, say, federalize the first Mississippi?
No, he wasn't.
The only one who federalized the first Mississippi was...
The nonsense went on, because those guys went did what... In 57, when Eisenhower called out the Army, I believe it was...
82nd Airborne.
Pardon?
82nd Airborne, I believe.
Well, the general's name was Walker.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that was his name, but those guys sold their souls. This Walker was allegedly a big patriot, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, he's a big patriot. What he did is he went ahead and stabilized the situation in Korea after Truman. And supposedly you end up having people like the, you know, former Sergeant First Class Barry of the Resistor. And you'll have this Edwin Walker Society. Well, guess what? Edwin Walker decided he didn't want to go ahead and resign. He went ahead and went along with the 82nd Airborne.
Right.
Forcing.
He'll be
forcing
that in an eternity of time. I don't care what else he did in his life. He was a whore for the kike nigger Eisenhower. That turns my stomach because his name was Walker. You're right. His name was.
He was a cork. He was a little Shabbos goyim, little Shabbos wigger, for Kikenhauer. You know, Kikenhauer who murdered what?
That's
one
right.
half
That's
million right. German prisoners of war after peace had been declared. Who starved to death?
Right.
Who starved to death in a, you know?
The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah, who starved to death in prison camps worse than anything at Andersonville. Over 1 million German POWs.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the red, white, and Jew, I mean, who is responsible for the actions of regime criminals? And I'd already covered about how, essentially, during the time of David, there was a famine in the land for 3 years before Yahweh decided to tell David what was wrong. What it boiled down to is that Saul's sons and grandsons have to be hung because here he is. He went ahead and tried to kill a bunch of Gibeonites. Now, these Gibeonites were Amorites. We went ahead and figured that out. And what they were is that they were blonde, blue-eyed. They were the lightest of the Canaanites. And what happens is that a number of Germans made the mistake that these Amorites were, quote, Aryans. Well, no, they were Canaanites, but they were Canaanites who were the blondest and bluest eyed. They were notorious for being a rather handsome, you know, a rather handsome race here. And they managed to fool the Israelites to thinking that they were white men who lived a long ways away. Well, as a result of this Benjamite Civil War, Saul still had some dislike against these Amorites and these Gibeonites, and I guess he pursued a policy of ethnic cleansing against them. And Yahweh went ahead and went under the belief that a deal was a deal. But you end up having the same thing as that, guess what? Our elites made a deal with these Amorites, and, you know, these Amorites, and we can't kill them now.
You mean like Joshua?
Yeah, well, Joshua screwed up. Joshua did a number of things here.
He was either screwed up or was incredibly stupid. I don't know.
Well, he would, in many cases, had leadership, but in many cases, was like a wigger. What he did is he cut a deal with these Amorites without asking Yahweh, without just consulting Eleazar, the high priest at the time. And we went ahead and discussed Phinehas. So you got to understand that Aaron was Moses' spokesman, because Moses was trying to go ahead and get out of becoming the one who would lead them out. I said, well, I have a speech impediment. All right, well, Aaron will do speaking for you. So Aaron was made the high priest. He was of the tribe of Levi. And they were the priesthood. And somebody went ahead, I think, asked what were the 13 tribes. Well, you see, Israel, you know, Jacob Israel had 12 sons. But one of them, his favorite, was Joseph. And Joseph had two sons, one called Ephraim and one called Manasseh. Manasseh was the oldest, Ephraim was the youngest. And in many cases, in the Bible, you have pretty well where the firstborn is supposed to have the, you know, a double portion. In many cases, there was, because Cain, I think, was born first, there was in many cases, a bias against the firstborn. Cain was the son of a Jew, though. Well, Cain was the first Jew. He was the son of Satan. He was the first Jew. But Esau was born first. Japheth was born first. Shem was the middle son. Ham was a worthless wigger who had a white wife who gave birth to the Egyptian, you know, people. He had a Jew wife, Naama, who gave birth to that little, you know, Jew bastard Canaan. And from what I gather, he was screwing niggers. You know, he had a nigger wife here who gave birth to Cush, who gave birth to Nimrod. So, in any case, that Semiramis, from what I gather, was an Esther Kikus bitch as well here. So you have a nigger, you know, a nigger marrying a Kikus here. You know, set the first quote Babylon and, you know, the rest of this sort of thing. But getting on with it, Phinehas, you know, Aaron had four sons, and the oldest two were sort of lazy doofuses who didn't pay attention, and they let the sacred fire go out. And what they did is that they decided to cover up their stupidity by just taking an ordinary campfire and presenting it as the fire of the Lord, and Yahweh didn't like that. Yahweh went ahead and killed him there in the hammer, and he told Aaron, he told Eleazar, and he told his, you know, his youngest son, I forget what his name was, Ithamar or something like that. He said, look, don't you be even whining, because I end up doing what I'd be done, so you don't be mourning these people. And essentially they buried, you know, they buried the two oldest sons of Aaron. And the third son was Eleazar. And Eleazar's son was Phinehas. Okay?
Right.
And Phinehas ended up becoming high priest. And supposedly, Phinehas was promised the scepter, you know, not the rod, but he was promised the staff. He was promised the staff of religious leadership. But that didn't end up working out. Every so often, you'd have a descendant of Phinehas, be it in the time of David's time, in the case of Zadok, and later on in 2 Chronicles, another, they're called Zadokites in some cases because they were descended from Phinehas. But most of the time, the high priest was not descended directly from Phinehas. From what I gather, they chose the ones who were, they thought were best at it. So.
We have five questions. How's your lawsuit doing against
Obongo?
Talk shoe.
I haven't started the thing here, and I need to. If INTJ was here, he'd be chewing on my ass. Right now, I'm going to have to answer a thing from the, you know, my Obongo lawsuit is still continuing. Essentially, this lawyer for the Missouri Democrat Party is playing the game that the Jew lawyer, and he couldn't understand what I was saying here. Well, folks, my lawsuit is actually pretty simple. I'm asking that the constitutional provision, you know, the Missouri provision, to where you can throw people in jail and thus keep them from running for governor or senator or sheriff, by going ahead and throwing people in jail, you can go ahead and stop people from running for office by doing that. That law needs to be overturned. And second of all, is that no political party with ballot access in Missouri has to have an open primary, so therefore it must allow white, you know, white candidates, open white nationalist candidates to run and let the voters decide. And essentially, they pretend they don't understand that. They pretend they don't understand that. Well, folks, they understand it just as well as the ruling house of Saudi Arabia as well as the Chinese government, the Russian government, the Iranian government, the Zimbabwe government understands, is that if you go ahead and throw your political adversaries in jail, that keeps them from running for office. If you go ahead and declare that they cannot run because they hold beliefs, racial beliefs, contrary to new belief, well, we can go ahead and we can do that. Now, my point is that, guess what? If you're not going to allow white men to run for office, open white men to run for office, then for all practical purposes, anybody who believes like I do, and anybody who wants to vote for me, has no obligation to obey the federal or state or local government, because you do not represent us. You know, this is not representational government. And since it's not representational government, we neither have to obey your laws or pay your taxes. Because essentially all you are is just a foreign criminal regime which presently rules over us.
Mark,
you know, correct?
The whole thing about government is an illusion. None of us represent. It's always the big lobbyist.
It's always been run by a plutocracy or a corrupt oligarchy. And increasingly, our little aristocracy of Jews and Shabbos wiggers are not doing a very good job of running things now, are they?
Well, they're doing it for themselves, is all it is.
They run it for themselves. But they're not even running it for themselves very good. From what I gather, pretty well the dollar has declined quite a bit. The only reason it hasn't declined more is that you have the euro, which is in a state of even deeper decline, because essentially the Europeans, you know, just like Quakers everywhere, have allowed Jews to run around and allow these little Greek mamzers to misstate their income and then sell worthless government debt. So in order to prevent the little Jew banksters from taking a loss and going bankrupt, they've been forcing the Irish and trying to force the Greeks, but the Greeks are rioting. And then next is Spain and Portugal and Italy. And so far, Spain is next on the list here. It's called the Pigs Country. P-I-I-G-S. Spain, Ireland, Italy,
Greece and Spain.
So the pigs are going belly up. You know what I mean?
You don't hear that in Europe. They're too damn politically correct. I didn't see that phrase pigs once in a newspaper or anything else.
Well, the thing about it is that the Irish have already been screwed here. They've been told that they have to. By the way, if you live in Ireland, it's not only if you have a public pension. If you have a private pension, they're going ahead and going into it in order to go ahead and pay off these banksters. And what happens is that this Irish government was kicked out, another one was put in, and it promised that it would say screw you to the banksters. Well, guess what? Did they tell the banksters screw you? Hell no, they didn't. The only ones who went ahead and said screw you to the banksters was Iceland. Iceland just simply said, hey, look, we're not bound by whatever the English want to do. We're not bound by what any other banksters in France or Germany wants to do. Essentially, you went ahead and you speculated in this stuff here, and the boom went bad. And guess what? We're not going to borrow money from the International Monetary Fund, and we're not going to go ahead and pay you. You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
Essentially, that's why they're talking about Medicare and Social Security going bankrupt. Essentially, these so-called trust funds were wasted on these banksters, and essentially all these Mexicans and the rest of these here little beaners pretty well said, screw you! We're not going to go ahead and pay you damn Yankee bankster, you damn Yankee Jew banksters. Screw you! So what they did is ordered to go ahead and sell their little investments, which Carl Denger calls dog shit. You know, as fine chocolates. Well, guess what? They went ahead and borrowed some more from the Social Security Fund. Essentially, they've looted every single trust fund. Everything's been looted out of the government. All there is just a bunch of little love and kisses IOUs from Zog. That's all there is. That's all there is left.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing else left. Anyway, you were in Europe. How did things go there?
Well, we enjoy traveling. I didn't see that pig stuff once, but I got to tell you, so London is increasingly black. Black and brown, Indians and everything else. It's unbelievable, actually.
Packies, Wogs, why, you were in London?
Yeah. The part of the time, but in any event, the British, that Obama was over there with his wife, and they were fawning over his wife, how beautiful she was, how elegant he was. These people are sick. There's so much political correctness in England and everything else. The country is screwed over. I've sent you some emails this thing. The average young person will never be able to buy a house in England because they don't make enough money. The price of the homes are outrageous.
There's no jobs. There's no jobs with a living wage.
But
essentially what they're doing is they're bringing in all these wogs,
right,
and the rest of them.
They say there are a million Poles in Great Britain. You can't imagine how much Polish you hear being spoken in London. Polish?
They have this. Well, they're still sort of white here. I think we already talked about how Kate Middleton, I think I went ahead and it was actually a show I put up here, about how Kate Middleton, you went ahead and showed me a picture of her sister and she looked like a freaking gook.
Sure.
And her brother looked like a freaking Jew.
They all are, sure.
You know, and from what I gather, old Kate Middleton, you know, was a kikist, and John Nugent, or D. Nugent,
mother,
or whatever, said that they were just, hey, two kikes marrying one another. You know what I mean?
See,
that's all they were.
The house of, I mean, I sent that email out about the Israel trouble. No, what's the phrase I'm looking at? The 1 week of Israel trouble. What's the right phrase I'm looking for? I sent the email out to you.
The time of Israel's travail or something?
Israel, yeah, it's in Isaiah, but it's collapsing. The preferential treatment given to the Muds is unbelievable. And I, you know, Buddy Johnson came up with the idea a year or two ago, at least, that Yahweh would come back when there were only 8 white people on the face of the earth, just as it happened once before.
Well,
Noah's time.
There is a scripture. I believe there'll be more than 8 people left.
Martin,
at the end of the Great Tribulation.
Getting involved with niggers is unbelievable. I mean,
well, it has changed. I mean, before I got sent to Nut House, you used to have wigger sluts around here. They would go ahead and catch you glaring at them here. They have their little nigglets. You catch them glaring, they sort of look ashamed. Nowadays, they're not ashamed no more. They're proud of their freaking nigglets. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Here they are, just running around with a little food stamp card and just proud of having, what, 3 or 4 nigglets here, and then occasionally you'll see this buck without a job. You know what I mean? Probably, baby daddy for the one in the oven. You know what I mean? Because from what I gather, niggers don't stick around with wigger sluts here any more than supposedly Barack Hussein Obama's putative spawner did here. You know what I mean?
Look, niggers are violent. They must beat those bitches up like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yes, but it shows how much they love them. He beat me up. He gave me a black eye.
Women,
he said,
these are women who need to be killed. They're trash. They're utter trash on the face of the earth.
Yeah, well, yeah, Franken Wigger, I mean, we already talked about, her Asiatic sister here, and she did look like a gook here, and Franken Wigger gave me a picture of her, and yeah, she looked like a gook. You know, her brother looked like he looked like a Jew gook, you know what I mean?
That Peppa deal?
Yeah, that Peppa deal here. Yeah, well, the reason she looks Asiatic is that she's a kikist here. And what happens, you can sort of see where old Kate Middleton would look here, if she looked, you know, if she looked uglified, you know, a little bit more gookish here, you know what I mean?
I agree with you.
But, it's sort of like Jeremy Visser's, brother Aaron, you know, Aaron Sean or whatever. He looks like Senior Zero. He looks like a total beaner. Visser's full-blooded brother looks like a beaner. Visser looks like a little, Anglo-Mestizo meth goober. And he was an Anglo-Mestizo. And, there's hardly anything more about, Visser doesn't show around anymore. And nobody even goes to his forum, even though it's a V-Bulletin 4.0 forum. But, getting on with it, so you've seen a whole bunch. I heard that that London is 40% non-white.
Oh, yeah. I can believe that easily.
You know, and pretty soon, within what? Oh, 10, 15 years, it's going to be minority, quote, actual English.
It's not going to take 15 years. I think within 10 years.
Well, 10 years. Hell, probably, for all practical purposes, just like the Zogland. I used to say 160 million Uyghurs and 140 million, you know, Muds. Now I say it's more like 130 million Uyghurs and 160 million. 160 million or so. 170 million Muds, you know, and I include Anglo-Mestizos among that. While you were gone, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll go ahead and talk about the Juplin tornado. You heard about the Juplin tornado when you were over there, didn't you?
Oh, it was on the papers. From what I understand, that the Obama made some big statement, but the tornadoes are much more important than the U.S.
This Sunday. And we'll go ahead and discuss that in a minute here. So let me go ahead, and we've been going on for 57 minutes. Let's just take about a 1 minute break so I can go ahead and separate the sections. Okay, Russ?
Should I hang up and call you back?
No. I'm just going to go ahead and save this here. So, folks, we'll be on with my second segment with Russ Walker here on the Movement Turd. Hail Victory.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
It's quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death.
look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Okay, folks, this is the second segment of with Russ Walker. Russ Walker, he was in England on a vacation, and essentially the last two shows, and I went ahead and got last Thursday's show. I'm going to get the one in which I wasn't able to really show up because I live in Granby, which is 25 miles southeast of Joplin, or Juplin, like I call it. And during the 22nd of May, I was going ahead and looking. We had rainstorms all day, but at that particular time, it hadn't hit yet. But what we seen on the TV is I was looking at one channel. I was looking at the CBS affiliate, and Roxy was looking at the NBC. affiliate, and NBC and ABC affiliates are both owned by the same company in Joplin. But what I seen was where essentially when the tornado started, it started right around the state line between Galena, Kansas and Joplin, Missouri. And Galena is about 7 miles west on, well, it used to be known as Route 66. But it's a state highway or something like that now. And it goes on to Galena, Kansas, which was named after Galena, which it was another lead mining town, just like Granby. And it started right east of Galena, right at the state line. And it went on and hit the southwest corner of Joplin first. I like to gloat about how it hit McClellan Park, which is the pretty well the hangout, or used to be the hangout for the faggots. And then it hit St. John's, the Catholic big hospital, and it tore up the top floor and pretty well broke every building or something like that. I don't see why they can't rebuild the thing. But I don't really want them to rebuild the thing, but I don't much care for Catholics or Catholic hospitals or St. John's. But essentially what it did is it went through 6 miles through to Duquesne, and it went from about the southwest corner all across the southern section of Joplin, some cases being a half mile wide, some cases being 3/4 mile wide, and went through 6 miles and then hit this small town of Duquesne and tore it up. So what it did is it went through a major portion of it. Now, when I was looking at it, the TV set went off, the cable went off, in which case the internet went off, just as they were said, oh, it's just hit St. John, because they had this little tower camera from the CBS affiliate, and it went down just as the tornado hit. Well, when the cable goes down, the internet goes down, and I did not make the movement turd. In fact, I went out there, and it was starting to rain like crazy, and hail about the size of a nickel was coming down, and the electricity went off. So I unplugged my computers and all this sort of thing, and, well, essentially, the electricity went off, and it was off for 3 days. And I was not able to make the movement turd, and Northwest was kind enough to be in. And INTJ went in, and that's the next show that I'll have up. But what it did is I think the body count went up to about 142 people or something like that. And they said it was the biggest tornado in the time they recorded. It was actually a Category 5 tornado, judging by the debris fields. And they said that they found in West Lafayette, Indiana, a receipt from Royal Tire Store, which is on Range Line. They found a receipt for Royal Tire Store in West Lafayette, Indiana. Now, recently, you had a few tornadoes in Massachusetts where they're not used to having so many, and it killed 4 or 5 people there during the last couple of days. But Joplin was a rather big one. And Obongo went ahead and showed up. Jay Nixon showed up. All Democrat politicians. And some of me is rather cynical enough to believe where Obongo has pledged to rebuild or not forget Joplin. Essentially, Obongo wants to have a sort of natural disaster which involves white people as opposed to Bush's disaster which involved niggers. And where he gets credit for fixing Joplin, unlike Bushy, who still is being ass chewed because he was not able to lift niggers in New Orleans up to white standards or better than what they used to be. You know what I mean? So you heard about that. You heard about the big tornado in Joplin in England then, huh?
Well, it was on the BBC and everything else, yes.
Okay.
But see, every time some of this stuff takes place, I feel like some of these idiots, this is another blessing for worshiping the Jews. You know, I used to live in West Virginia, and they had a big mine disaster, a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And these people think, you know, the Jews are God Almighty, we'll be blessed. People don't realize they're going to be hammered more and more viciously. I read on the internet the other day, and I don't totally understand this. There's allegedly this comet called Elenin. Some people say it's a comet, some people say it's a red dwarf. We'll be in a plane between the Earth and the Sun this coming September.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you know about it. They're saying all hell will break loose. I don't know. I'm just mentioning the subject, that's all.
Well, I don't know if you or I could do anything about that, or even the Jews are to blame for that. But in any case, you had Obongo. He showed up Sunday. Jay Nixon showed up.
Jay who?
Jay Nixon, who's the governor of Missouri, a Democrat. He's a piece of shit who for 16 years was the attorney general, essentially let the pigs run wild, beating up people. I mean, essentially he was just a piece of shit attorney general for the state of Missouri. And essentially after Matt Blunt, a.k.a. Runt Blunt, had one term of 4 years screwing over Missouri, people in Missouri got tired of him quicker than the people in the Zogland got tired of Bush. Here's another character. The Blunt family is just like the Bush family. Essentially, all they are is just a bunch of sellouts and Jews and crooked politicians owned by the Jews. And so same way with Blunt. And he was such an idiot, he went ahead and ran it according to how the people, the local money men in Missouri wanted to do it, and as a result, he pretty well screwed up Missouri pretty good. And from what I gather, they told him that he could either leave, he had to leave. He could leave quiet without any criminal charges, but he had to leave. So, in January of 2008, at his State of the State, he said that he was not going to run a second term for governor. Well, whoever was a Republican, this Congress critter named Kenny Holsdorf, who was another little total tard, got swamped by Jay Nixon. So Jay Nixon was coming in, talking about the wonderfulness of Missouri, and Jay Nixon talks a number of crap about how he's going to bring high-paying jobs through education to Missouri. And the thing about Joplin is that Joplin is one of the cheapest places to live in the United States. Far cheaper to live in Idaho or the Great Northwest or whatever. But the thing about it, you know, it has a consumer price index of 8.89. Now, essentially, living in an average town, you know, city or something is 1.0. New York is, what, 1.56 or something like that, to where it's half again expensive, or more to live in New York City than it is there. Kansas City is, I think, what, 0.93. Dallas is 0.95. Now, Joplin, Missouri is 0.89. It's one of the cheapest places to live in the United States. But when you go ahead and you count for wages and the money of income coming down, it's 0.79. So as a result, you have, and I got to laugh about all these houses, about them talking about rebuilding these houses, and they were saying that the death toll in Joplin was high because just like all southern states, Joplin isn't, it's at the base of the Ozarks, which used to be a mountain range, is now eroded. Essentially, you have 6 inches of black dirt, and then after 6 inches, you hit clay, and then you hit limestone. And as a result, from moving down here from South Dakota, where everyone had a basement, you come down here, and hardly anybody has a basement. There's hardly any basements at all. Basements are wonderful places. You know, they're cooler. You can go ahead and put your potatoes or what have you in there. You could have a root cellar or something like that, but around here, there's very seldom any of that here. Now, I was digging in my garden, and I come across, though, what used to be a little cement patch here, and 338 Rabbit Track Road is on Cobb Hill. The back lot around this little irregular shaped in where I live, and I own most, half on with my brother, most of this little thing here is I come across a little concrete plug or something like that, which used to shore up a little mine hole or something like that here at about 4 inches or so. And in any case, when they went ahead and took the lead soil across that, they went ahead and left that concrete patch or plug there here. So I went ahead and come across it this morning when I was working on my garden. But no, you don't have hardly any basements in Joplin, Missouri. And that ended up causing a good deal of more of the fatalities because people didn't have a place where they could run to. In many cases, what they did is they ran to their bathrooms and they huddled up in their bathtubs, which is about the safest place they could find. You understand what I'm saying? Because your bathroom usually don't have a window in it, so you don't have to worry about flying glass. It's an internal room, and your bathtub essentially is sort of like a little casket or a little coffin. It's sort of like a little steel shell, which is only open at the top, and that's about the safe place they could go ahead and find out. But here in Joplin, they did not have a basement to go ahead and save themselves in. So, in any case, you have Jay Nixon, you have the governor, you have Obongo, and Bongo talks for about 10-15 minutes, and I mean, I didn't have anything good to say about Obongo. I went ahead and recorded my number of acid comments about Obongo, but you're supposed to have the Westboro Baptist Church show up, and these wonderful little Anglo mestizos, they were just like the men of Sodom. Remember when the angels of the Lord came to Sodom? And essentially, they didn't want to go ahead and be ass-raped by the men of Sodom.
Right, he blinded them.
And what happens? You remember what the men of Sodom said? How dare you judge us? How dare you judge us? All we want to do is just get a little bit of different butt. We've been cornholing each other here. How dare you look down on us here? Well, the city of Joplin, from what I gather, complicit with the pigs of Joplin, of Jasper County and Newton County, would not allow, from what I gather, the Westboro Baptist Church to make it to their little protest area at Missouri Center State College where the nigger and Jay Bird Nixon were talking. Now, you had one guy from Arkansas who showed up. He wasn't with the Westboro Baptist Church. And essentially, he got harassed by the pigs. And essentially, they chased him down. They chased him down through Jasper County, and then through Newton County, and then through McDonald County till he got home to Arkansas. And they didn't dare formally arrest him. But essentially, just like the Westboro Baptist Church, and just like the men of Sodom, they did not want to allow anybody to go ahead and judge them. And folks, I got a question here. I mean, Fred Phelps really does not much care for homosexuals. Joplin, for some reason, is known as a town which has a higher percentage of homosexuals than average, or what you would expect here. I mean, probably more homosexuals per capita than Springfield, Missouri, or even the University of Missouri, Arkansas, Fayetteville.
What is that? Any reason for that?
I don't know. I reason here, but usually your homosexuals here are sort of like Cousin Randy Turner, who I like to ridicule. You know, he's a closeted homosexual. He's a sanctimonious, righteous homosexual.
Who's Randy Turner?
Oh, he used to be a newspaper editor at the Carthage Press. He calls himself Randy Turner. I call him Cousin Randy, because he was talking shit about me, so I developed a sock puppet called Swilla Scumpf Turner. And Swilla Scumpf says that me and Cousin Randy were cousins together in Newtonia, and we used to fuck sheep together, but what happens is that, Cousin Swilla Scumpf, he went on to become a Klansman, and Cousin Randy went on to be a liberal wigger butthole fag. Now, he was the newspaper editor at the Carthage Paper. He was a newspaper editor at the Carthage Paper, and people got tired of his liberal wigger shit and him thinking he was so clever. And he was two classes ahead of me, and Roxy went to school with the bastard. He was a stuck up piece of shit. He didn't much care for pussy even then here. And essentially, I go ahead and hint that he's a homosexual. This other guy with Neosho Forums here, I've accused them, along with Greg Stremmel, of having an orgy at McClellan Park, which is where the faggots hang out. And I sort of think it's funny. I think that if it hit St. John's, it surely must have gone ahead and hit McClellan Park. It did? Roxy said it hit McClellan Park. So essentially, that should be Fred Melt. Red meat to Fred Phelps, because he says that God hates America and God hates the troops because God hates homosexuals. Well, Joplin has a special reputation, for whatever reason, for being a faggot town. Now, the faggots here aren't like San Francisco, to where they're not liberal faggots. They're conservative, kosher conservative faggots, but Randy Turner's a liberal wigger, butthole fag, and essentially, I had a little blog, and I called it, Turner calls his blog the Turner Report. I called Cousin Swillis's, I called it the Turner Diaries. And I had a number of hilarious things about that. I would make fun, like crazy about Randy Turner. And Randy Turner, found out who Cousin Swillis Gumpf was. And, I would just simply say, what happens is, Cousin Randy's a liberal wigger butthole fag. Well, what happens, he got kicked out of the newspaper profession, he become a school teacher. Now, you've always had faggots as school teachers. We had one who was a sanctimonious faggot who did not like me. He talked shit about me, just like faggots do in class. And, folks, people figured out he was a faggot, but he had tenure by then. But, in any case, everybody, Randy Turner he's a faggot. He's a closeted faggot. He's a self-righteous, sanctimonious faggot. He used to talk shit about me as a newspaper reporter and, on his blog here. So, hey, I have no use for Randy Turner. But in any case, he's been making a big deal. He's all pissed off at these legislators from St. Louis area who essentially don't want children being taught by predator faggots. And, right now he used to be pissed off at this, the state house named Cindy from, Othala, Missouri. Now he got a state senator named, Jane Cunningham, another female, essentially Jane Cunningham went ahead and passed a law to where teachers cannot contact students without their parents' permission outside of school hours. And old Randy is having a fit about that. Well, here he was talking about how I was a child molester, all this sort of shit. And what he is, he's a faggot. And essentially he gets all mad. He gets all mad because these teachers, how dare these teachers not be allowed to have access to the kids after school? And people are saying, well, you shouldn't have access to children after school. Now, in the case of Randy Turner, I don't think you should have access to children at school. You know what I mean? But, you know, he talks shit about me. And, folks, Joplin is just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Closeted homosexuals, but guess what? How dare Fred Phelps go and show up and raise the question, does God hate Joplin? Now, folks, I think that's a valid question, because you would think, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful, couldn't he have stopped what happened in Joplin? Anytime? Still there, Russ?
I mean, I'm sure he could have stopped if he wanted
to. Yeah, if he wanted to.
This nation is cursed for a number of reasons.
That's right. But I would say that he didn't really give much of a shit for Joplin now, did he?
Well, we're going to see more and more of the stuff take place.
Oh, we are seeing more of the stuff take place. I mean, even in Massachusetts.
Sure, it's other parts. And see, it's funny you bring up the subject of basements. That's an interesting question. Throughout the South, by and large, you don't have basements. Very, very few basements.
Well, and the reason of that is because of higher water tables.
Yes, but that's true.
But also it's because Southerners in many cases have less money.
That's true.
It's also a matter of poverty. A basement costs money to go ahead and pour and create and build here. Now, in South Dakota, every single house.
Sure.
Every single house has a basement. Because
there's
what it is...
In the colder northern climates, you have to put a heating unit somewhere, and they're normally significant in size because of a much colder climate. When you live in Florida or South Carolina, you don't begin to need the heating apparatus that you need in a South Dakota climate. So
well, see, the thing about it is that in South Dakota, especially West River, the normal spec is that the water pipes be, 5 feet under?
Probably.
In South Dakota, in order to get underneath the frost line of how cold it gets in the wintertime, you have to have it 6 foot minimum.
Sure.
You know what I mean? When they were putting this Missouri River water across my property, they dug this big old pipe here, this big old huge diameter pipe, to carry Missouri River water, water from the Missouri River into Stanley County and the rest here, inland here from there. They went ahead and they have about 4 foot wide or so or bigger. I don't know how big it was here. I mean, I remember the pipes were about 4 foot wide. But when it came time to have your special tap, of a 1-inch pipe or something like that, it was still buried 6 foot deep here. So in many cases, people would have every single house has a very deep basement because you not only need to put your heating element or your heating thing in there, and around Pierre, South Dakota, you have the cheapest electricity throughout the country because you have this big old Ahi Dam generating electrical power. And as a result, when it costs 4 or 6 cents per kilowatt hour, now it's up to 8, it would cost 2 cents per kilowatt hour in Pierce, South Dakota. So it wasn't so much to go ahead and have a furnace because, folks, when you have 2 cents a watt kilowatt hour, essentially you're going to have your house heated by electric. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Now, there's not that much wood in South Dakota to have a fireplace or anything like that here. But yet, no. What happens is that the basement is used because it's a cool place in summer, and it can be, if you heat it, a warm place in winter because it's below the frost line in many cases.
True.
So, yeah, you end up, yeah, and you know, the water table is quite deep here. Even in the 30s when my dad put in artesian well here, he had to go 600 feet or more. You know what I mean?
So an artesian well?
Well, this was way back in the 30s here. You know what I mean?
The water flowed naturally over the top?
You know, the water would go ahead and flow up to the top here. This was in the 30s, though. You got to realize this was way before they went ahead and found this gigantic Ogallala aquifer and started pumping it dry here. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the 1930s. And I think he had drilled in the 40s or 50s or something like that here. And there was a lot of bitching about it. But hey, I mean, in many cases, you end up going ahead and forming what they call stock tanks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of calling them ponds, they call stock tanks. And essentially what you do is you save all the water you possibly can. Now, these stock tanks eventually silt out. They go ahead and silt out through all the mud. Eventually, they become only 3-4 foot deep here. And they get silted out here. You end up having 18 feet of topsoil from the glaciers. And that's what they end up saying, is that north of the I-70 line, where you had the ice age bringing in all this dirt and all this, deep stuff here. Essentially, you know, basements in Missouri start what I call north of I-70, the cornfield counties is where they start. And, Kansas City, you have far more basements than you do in Joplin. That's one thing that I was reading here is that, here in southern Missouri, there's hardly any basements. Now, I imagine there's probably, do you have very many basements where you live in, say, North Carolina?
No.
Throughout
the South, you don't have basements. I only know two people in the entire state of North Carolina who got basements. There must be more, but I only know two.
Well, you might have, that might not count where you have places where what people do is that they burrow into the side of a hill. And essentially what they do is they place a row of cinder blocks. They place a row of cinder blocks for about, two stories, you know what I mean? And then you end up having them lit. I mean, you have some underground homes here. But essentially these underground homes is that you have a hill and you go ahead and you bury into the side of the hill and do that. Now here in Granby, Missouri, you have all these, especially on Cobb Hill, you have all these places which used to be open mine shafts. And essentially, they did their best to fill them all in or cap them with concrete or something like that. What I went ahead and hit today with my tiller was one of these little concrete caps that used to be there. And it was only about 4 inches deep or so. What I've been doing the last couple of days is placing all these 3x3 little boxes with these cedar sides that I bought real cheap for what, 37 cents a piece. And essentially I'm going ahead and cutting the 4 foot picket fence, 4 foot picket fences of the cedar ones. I'm cutting them off for about a foot to go ahead and put into the earth, and then that leaves you 3 foot left. And I'm creating these 3x3 foot boxes to go ahead and make for raised gardens. In the case of the potatoes, what I'm going to do is put a bunch of these potato boxes until they reach about 3 foot, 4 foot high, and that way it'll produce more potatoes. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Okay. You know when you grow potatoes, how you usually go ahead and you put a hill around them? You hill them, and essentially what happens is that in that hill, the potatoes form in the loose soil formed by that hill. Well, what you do with these 3 foot boxes is you go ahead and initially till the ground underneath them, and that's where I came across this cap But on this cap, you know, normally what you do is that you go ahead and put a 3x3 box here, and you plant about, three or four or five plants. And then rather than hill them, you just go ahead and you add another four-inch wide board, and you go ahead and you keep on covering that until about 10 weeks, and, you know, the plant keeps on growing above it. So what you do is that later on when you need some potatoes, you just go ahead, you know, during the growing season, you just go ahead and just take the boards off. You go ahead and take the boards off from the bottom, and you pull the potatoes off from the bottom here.
Sure. That's a lot of work. Normally the way I do it is I just plant enough potatoes to dig up a, I mean, I'm about to start doing it right now, to dig up a plant and pull up some little potatoes and put the plant back. That's these new potatoes.
Well, that's if you want to get new potatoes. You know, the way I do it, there's other people who don't have these cedar boards. What they do is they get a bunch of tires, a bunch of worthless tires. And what they do is that they, you know, or a barrel, they get tires or they get a barrel, and essentially they do the same thing, you know, grow them within the tires or the barrel. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull up the barrel when you want to get some new potatoes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the bottom up. You know what I mean? I guess the potatoes will be bigger on the bottom. But, yeah, you can grow a lot more potatoes by growing in a barrel or a box or a tire or whatever than you can just hilling them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay?
It's a lot of work, but do it your way.
Anyway, in any case, I'll catch you up here. You still tired? So what did you see in London?
That's okay.
What did you see in London?
Well, the same old stuff. You know, Trafalgar Square and the museum. There are a lot of museums. We primarily like the countryside more than... There's an area of England called the Cotswolds, and I'm telling you, Martin, every single scene could be fit for a picture. The place is just gorgeous.
Well, I've heard about it here. That's sort of like the Poconos, or, you know, how it used to be in the United States, huh?
It's just nicer. I mean, look, they've had 1,000 years to get the rocks out of the ground, and they got all kinds of rock walls over there, but it's expensive, but that's what you want to do in life. That's all, you know what I mean?
Well, Russ, I mean, you got enough money to go to England here. Would you have relatives or friends who lived there or what?
Just a trip. It's not that expensive. For Raleigh to London, round trip was $912. Yeah, it's money, but it's not a fortune like people might think it is, you know. In my case, we buy everything 3 months ahead of time, trying to get the rock bottom prices on everything. But at any rate, you know, this guy Fred Phelps, I think a lot of what he's saying is true. This country is cursed for a number of reasons, not just the queers, the interracial mixing. In fact, women should never have been given the right to vote. That was one of the biggest mistakes they ever made, and I don't care if people like it or not, but because when you look at Eve in the Garden of Eden, Satan seduced Eve. He made a frontal attack on Eve because she was the weaker sex. Women are the weaker sex not because of physical strength or size, but because they're more easily seduced mentally as well as physically.
Well, that's pretty well. That's what Yahweh said to Eve.
What's that?
Oh, Genesis 3:14 or 16 said, "You will be under the control of your husband." You know what I mean? And you know, you will give birth to your children in pain. Remember?
I mean, when Satan dealt with Adam, first of all, he attacked Eve first. She was the easier one. Then when it came time to attack Adam, he didn't go to a frontal attack on Adam. He used Eve to basically seduce Adam.
Oh, yeah. He attacked Adam through his pussy.
Yeah. And in any event, that's the same thing you have today where women are used in advertising and stuff like that to get men to do things.
Oh, yeah. Well, you end up having, what gets me is looking at these here little news shows here, in many cases, just like I'm doing now, what I'll do is I will turn the sound off, and I'll go ahead and look at what's going on visually. And what you end up seeing is you end up seeing fewer and fewer white people and more Anglo mestizos.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
And what you end up having, be it Fox News or whatever, you'll have some stupid airhead, blonde, blue-eyed, you know, wigress, wearing a short skirt here, and you just spend the time hoping that, hey, you know, just like in Basic Instinct, you'll see no underwear. You know what I mean? Sort of like old Splitney, what the heck are his name? Splitney Spears. Go ahead and showing her beaver. I mean, you'll have some blonde, white woman who looks beautiful, You know, looks cute, and here she is talking next to the conservative nigger on Fox News or whatever, or any place else. And essentially, you'll end up having a rather good-looking white woman, essentially just yapping off liberal or whatever crap needs to be talked to, and you end up having these wiggers eating it up, don't you?
Well, I don't know what they're doing, but I mean, Fox don't have good-looking women as a means of attracting people. I don't watch Fox. I don't even have cable. That's crap.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't watch Fox because it's the Bushy channel, but occasionally I'll go look at it. Every so often I'll go ahead and go to the Obongo channel, which is MSNBC. Occasionally, I mean, it's sort of screwed up if you end up having to see, well, what is the actual news without any spin is CNN, although it got this faggot named Anderson Cooper on there. And you have old Lara Logan talking about how she was groped and raped here by these Egyptian characters here. And you have old Time Lord from Nimbusters there. I have to laugh about old Time Lord. When old Lara Logan got raped here, all these Nimbusters were just so mean. They said, for some reason, my pussy still smells like camel shit and garlic. And they didn't have any sympathy for old Lara Logan at all over on Nimbusters. So, in any case, yeah, Wolf Blitzer, yeah, he's a Zionist Jew. Oh, by the way, you had old Bibi Netanyahu. Essentially, old Barack Hussein Obongo told Israel that it would have to pull back to its 1967 borders. And here's old BB. He goes ahead and talks to the Congress and the Republican Whiggers, essentially, you know, and even the Democrats. Go ahead and essentially, he tells Obongo, well, you're not the tail that wags the dog, I am. And essentially, I don't know if it'd been, I mean, here comes over Joe Biden, and he tells them the same thing, no more settlements. Essentially, they build more settlements the day he comes over there. I mean, what gets me, and you even have conservative people saying, like Rand Paul and the rest here, saying, hey, no foreign aid for anybody. Look, folks, you want to have a Jew entity? You want to have a Jew bandit state? Well, guess what, Jew boys? You're going to have to fight with the people you went and stole it from. You know what I mean? No more, I mean, essentially, either you go back to your 1967 borders, or no more money and guns for you, Jew boys. Fight with the Palestinians over it. But essentially, Obongo was trying to say, well, it's time for the United States to be known as fair. And essentially, Israel has to go back to its 1967 borders. And essentially, old Bibi Netanyahu pretty well told the nigger no go, didn't he?
Well, Obama's still going to sign off on massive foreign aid to the Jews anyway.
Well, it's a complete farce. Essentially, what's coming up is a vote in the UN to where, of course, Israel got to go ahead and go back to its 1967 borders. We have to have an independent Palestinian nation, and essentially, old Bibi is waiting for a veto by the United Snakes to do so. He's waiting for some more money. I mean, old BB just pretty well put the nigger in his place. Look, boy, you don't rule here. Us Jews do. And essentially, I had to laugh at that because the Jew boy told the nigger boy what to do, didn't he? Ain't that about size of it?
It's an absolute mess. What are you going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Well, I ain't going to do anything about it. I'm waiting for the Great Tribulation to go ahead and settle all this stuff here. But
I think this society is in tribulation. It is going to get worse and worse.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, personally, I don't think Obama will be reelected. I think things are going to get be so bad. I can't imagine him winning the next election. The unemployment will be overwhelming. I was just reading today, like something like 40% of all the college kids can't find jobs right now.
Oh no! That's the next bubble. The only
these guys in a law school, 30% of lawyers aren't practicing law to do other things.
40% of them ain't practicing law. There was this one thing here, it was called third tier law school, And essentially, here you are getting $100,000 in debt that you can't get out from under. And meanwhile, these law school professors are making $250,000 salaries. And you have, essentially, these law schools as profit centers. Essentially, I just teach them from books, you know, case law, whatever here.
Right, that's right.
And for 3 years, and essentially getting them, saddling them with $100,000 debt that they can't get out from under. And, folks, what you're doing is that at the end of it, what are you going to get, you know, where are you going to go ahead and get a job as? Well, you're not going to get a job as a high-priced corporate lawyer, are you?
Let me tell you what they're pulling in England. In England, you know, the tuition is 9,000 pounds a year, which is like, about 15,000 a year. College is 3 years. But what they're doing is they're limiting the number of people from England who can go to Oxford and Cambridge, et cetera, and letting more Chinese come in because the Chinese pay the full bill. Whatever the full bill is, I don't know. But they're not running universities anymore. They're running businesses. Martin, Western civilization is collapsing on all fronts.
Oh, yeah, it's collapsing. I mean, the thing about it is just like, you know, Walmart and the rest, they went ahead and sent over the manufacturing so they could make high profits here for about 20 some years. And then they got, you know, people borrowed out as much as they can be borrowed out. And now they don't seem to realize is that if you go ahead and sent the jobs overseas, how are these people going to go ahead and buy my Chinese made junk? Henry Ford knew enough about, you know, economics. We knew enough about history. Said history is bunk here. If I need an intellectual, I'll just go ahead and buy me one or hire me one. And, you know, he said, I can hire as many college boys, you know, to supposedly run things if I need here, but I'm the one who runs things. But Henry Ford knew Say's Law, and Say's Law says is that you can't have economic progress unless the people are able to buy what they produce.
Whose law?
Say's Law, S-A-Y-E-S. He was a French economist here.
Never heard of that, okay.
Say's Law essentially says is that you can't have economic progress unless people are able to purchase what they create.
Okay.
You know what I mean? What's the purpose of creating anything if it's not going to be used? And if the people who essentially create the product can't use it, you know, can't use it because they can't afford it, well, what the good is that here? Henry Ford believed in paying people $5 an hour. And old Herbert Armstrong interviewed Henry Ford, and essentially Henry Ford says, well, no. What happens is that pretty soon the rest of my competitors will find out that they can't afford not to pay $5 a day.
Let me give you a little quick.
Henry Ford said is that at the price of $5 a day, I get my pick of people to work for me. Essentially, I can tell them what to do. I can go ahead and tell them what to do in their, you know, in their family life or anything like that within reason. Essentially, I get my pick of the workers by paying them $5 a day. And essentially Henry Ford told Herbert Armstrong that eventually that his rivals at General Motors and the rest of the places would have no choice but to go ahead and match what Henry Ford was doing. And from what I gather, by a year or so later, General Motors found out the hard way. But Henry Ford believed that by paying them $5 a day, guess what? They ain't gonna be buying any GMs. I imagine probably one of the deals if you got paid $5 a day is you better not show up in a Chevrolet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
at the Ford plant. But, you know, shoot, by 1925 you can buy a Model T for $250.
That's right. Now, minor correction. Say's Law is S-A-Y apostrophe S. Just a minor correction.
Oh, I thought it was S-A-Y-E-S.
Well, let me read you off.
What'd you do? Look it up in Wikipedia?
So Say's Law, the law of the market, is an economic principle of classical economics named after the French businessman and economist Jean-Baptiste Say.
Right.
Who stated that products are paid for with products and a glut can take place only when there are too many means of production applied to one kind of product and not enough to another. In Say's view, a rational businessman will never hoard money. He will promptly spend any money he gets, for the value of money is also perishable. Boy, isn't that the truth. You know, it's better to have inventory than to have money in the bank. It's
Well, that's essentially, I didn't learn about Say's Law through the earthing. By the way, I'm not sure if I've lost TeamSpeak or not. Let me see. Let's go ahead and take another couple minute break and come back here in a minute, and I'll find out whether or not I've lost TeamSpeak, okay?
I may have more than a minute or two, but I'll be back within 2 minutes.
Okay. Hail Victory.
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to fit. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal CP. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zoggle fuck you up. Yeah, Zoggle fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zoggle fuck you up. Yeah, Zoggle fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is the MN. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Miff Goober Lil Pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum, that niggly-neese molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
I see this economy collapsing. I see earthquakes and everything else taking place. Right now here in North Carolina, it's dry as can be. In fact, England is bone dry, too. They're having one of the driest areas in, I don't know, 30 years or 50 years or something like that. I view this as part of a global cooling, because when the earth gets cooler, less moisture evaporates in the atmosphere, and it's one of the reasons you've got less rain. And yet at the same time, I read here on the news, there have been massive water problems in the West from heavy winter. So maybe I'm wrong on that point. But
well, you end up, I don't know, you end up having a bunch of flooding in the Missouri River, and you had that, you know, around the 22nd, it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained, and what happens is we've had four uninterrupted dry days, and today it is the warmest it's been throughout the entire year. It got up to, what, 91 degrees here in southwest Missouri. But previously, I mean, during the May 22nd tornado, I mean, I went out and took a shower, but you had nickel-sized hail, and the shower wasn't very long because it was, what with all that hail, I mean, I had a head full of hail underneath the eave while I was taking my little cheap shower. So I decided to just save, you know. Now, on the other hand, I had all these stock tanks that I bought filled up, and during the last couple of days, I've been using them to start watering my garden. I've been planting because it's no longer raining, but no, I had a late start this year, but people were saying that if you went ahead and planted something, earlier this year, it got either frosted out or it got rotted out by so much rain here in southwest Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous cycle, where it had rained for about a solid week or two, that was causing all this flooding in the Mississippi. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to have more flooding, but you have a lot of flooding in Montana and Idaho to where they're not used to it as well.
Washington, too. It says here the deadliest, fewest tornado in nearly six decades ripped through the southwestern Missouri city of Joplin, leaving schools, businesses, church, and killing at least 116 people. That, I read that off the internet here. So,
well, it's up to, what, 142, but no, they no longer have any missing people. They either found out where they were or they turned up dead. So there's no longer any missing people in Joplin.
Well, in any event, apparently it was a I guess those of us who didn't experience can't imagine what took place, you know.
Well, I didn't even see the devastation until Tuesday when I went over to Joplin to recharge my laptop. So I went ahead. Both of my Toshibas use the same style of battery, so I just took the Toshiba number one, and I was cruising the internet and charging up the battery. And we didn't have electricity here in Granby for three full days. Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday. We didn't have it until, 5 o'clock or so, which it went out about 5 o'clock, Sunday. And this tornado didn't last very long. It just swooped in and just created, devastation such as, people take before and they take after. But what gets me is that a tornado is a rather selective natural disaster, probably the most selective natural disaster ever. Because if you live, say, 100 yards from the tornado's path, chances are you didn't even get a leaf stripped off from the tree. Chances are things doesn't affect you. And I looked at this tower cam from the CBS affiliate, and it simply showed green at 7th Street and a couple blocks, and then you end up having, after this, where this tornado didn't hit, you end up having just this green line just abruptly end. And what you end up having after that is just nothing more than just, you see a sort of gray area where you have the debris fields and all this sort of thing. But the tornado actually wasn't that wide. It was actually, about half mile long and, half mile wide. Got as wide as 3/4 mile, then back to a half mile. And, it was, it's just sort of like a scythe going through wheat. Now, where the scythe doesn't touch, the wheat is still standing. Same way with trees and houses. But where you did have that tornado go, it was a rather violent tornado.
Sure.
Category 5. And it tore off a lot of people here. So you have a lot of people, and I think some of these people in Joplin, the reason they had such a reaction to Fred Phelps, to where they would not even let him speak, is that I think in the back of their minds, why did this happen? Why did this happen to us? Now, I quoted Luke chapter 13, 1 through 6, and I'll go through, Luke, I'll go ahead and go right there, right now. Since we do believe there is a God, and that God is all-knowing and all-powerful, why did this happen? Now, Fred Phelps says is that God hated Joplin, and probably if you went ahead and pointed out that, Joplin is a rather homosexual burg out of relationship to what it is that, yes, God actually did hate Joplin here. But in Luke chapter 13, I'm going to go ahead and quote this, I would say it's more of a matter of Yahweh doesn't care about what happens to non-whites and sinners. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There was present at that season some who told them about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, previously, these Galileans had gone to a religious festival and rioted against Roman authority, and Pontius Pilate went ahead and killed a bunch of Galileans. Now, most of these Galileans were Benjamites. And verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Verse 3, I tell you no, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then Jesus going on says, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Well, Jesus Christ didn't simply say, hey, guess what, this tower, what do you expect from a tower created by Jews here, sort of like a World Trade Center? what do you expect of a tower created by a bunch of Jews, you know? I mean, yeah. But, you know, then Jesus goes on and says, I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Hey, Martin, and, I'm getting tired right now.
Okay. Pretty well, what seems to me is what Jesus Christ was saying is, unless you are called by God, unless you are called by Jesus Christ and called by God, essentially whatever happens to you is rather a matter of complete indifference to Jesus Christ.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, see, Jesus didn't say that, you know, he hated these Galileans because they got killed by Pilate. He didn't say that he hated these people in this tower at Siloam. You know, he didn't go ahead and blame it on, you know, faulty towers made by Jews. He just simply said is that, guess what? You're on your own unless you're protected by God. And that's, you know, that's pretty well, you know, that's one of the, you know, main reasons of people who may not be religious and may not be in Christianity is that if Jesus Christ calls you and you understand is that Jesus Christ will, if it's his will to protect you, he will protect you. And if it's Jesus Christ's will that you die, you will die. I thank every day.
Oh, yes.
I thank every day Yahweh. The very first thing, you know, before I go to bed, I thank Yahweh for getting me out of jail and getting me out of the nut house. And then I thank him for not being convicted of these bogus charges, which were not true, by Jurea Whiggers. And, you know, just like this other character named Sean, who I believe is innocent, who got, well, he got a life sentence of 7 years, supposedly, for raping every night these two girls, even though they were virgins when they were checked here. And essentially, he got set up. He got set up by Zog. And that's why I feel for Mr. Pringle, although I do not like Mr. Pringle. That's why I feel for Edgar Steele, although I do not agree with Edgar. Oh, this guy, you don't know him here. His name is Sean Wright. I met him at the Nut House. He is a Anglo mestizo, more mestizo than Anglo. I mean, essentially, he'd admit that he is nuts. He's the opposite side of the coin. Whereas I got sent to Nut House because I would not allow myself to be railroaded, and I insisted upon being my own attorney. He insisted this crooked lawyer stop collaborating with the prosecution, so they made him defend himself, and he defended himself on a second trial. He ended up getting convicted, and I think the man is innocent. So I thank Yahweh for seeing to it that I'm not in prison this day being murdered or raped by niggers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's Yahweh's will, which will go ahead and save you if you are Yahweh's own. But if you're not Yahweh's own, folks, you're on your own. And while it may seem to you that you are hated by Joplin because bad things happen to you, just like they happened to these 18, you know, Israelite Whiggers who died in this collapse of this tower, or these Benjamites who fell afoul at Galilee, you know, at the hands of Pontius Pilate, essentially they were on their own, weren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you go, and Russ, it's been nice talking to you, and then I'm going to cover the code of conduct for white nationalists and Edgar Steele, and I'll probably take a 10-15 minute break. So I was glad you could show up, you know, and be on the show tonight, Russ.
Good night.
All right, good night. Hail victory. Okay, folks, I think this is, what, the third or maybe the fourth segment. We'll go ahead and show up in about 10 minutes. I'll refresh my drink, and we'll be back in a little while. Hail victory.
Back to lynchings, because that's what worked in the past. I'll be back.
Hello?
Yes. Is this the post office?
Yes, it is.
Yes, I was calling about this new Malcolm X stamp.
Yes.
Well, I was just wondering, whose idea was it to put a militant on a stamp?
I don't know, sir.
Well, I mean, Malcolm X, he advocated violence.
Well, Elvis Presley was a drug addict. His wasn't our choice, okay?
Whose choice was it?
Can I help you?
Yes, I was calling, had some questions about the Malcolm X stamp.
Excuse me?
I mean, Malcolm X advocated the use of violence. I mean, is that the kind of person we want on a postage stamp?
This is not where you call.
Jesus Christ, our postal workers are violent enough.
Sir?
Without a goddamn Malcolm X stamp egging them on.
Would you like another phone number, sir? Because you're calling here and you're discussing matters that we just don't have anything to do with.
You got your mailman driving around with a truck full of Malcolm X stamps, and pretty soon he starts hearing little voices. Kill the white man. Kill the white man.
Sir?
Kill the white man. Next thing you know, he's up on a water tower with a goddamn M16. Hello?
Good morning. May I help you?
Couldn't we have put a less violent black man on a stamp?
About
Malcolm Jamal Warner. I could deal with that. I still wouldn't buy it, but I could deal with it.
I've already heard your story that you do not like the Malcolm X stamp.
But
why do you keep calling us and asking us? Because you already don't like the black militant.
I mean, look, it's not a racial thing. I'm surprised the black people aren't protesting, too. Paying a black man 33 cents to take a letter all the way across the country. It's just another example of the man keeping the brother down.
I have your name, sir.
My name is Joe.
Okay, Joe, you cannot call this office, sir, and argue with us about the stamps that are made. Okay?
Look, you don't understand. This stamp is causing me all kinds of problems. I've had to clean out another desk drawer just so I can segregate my stamps.
Joe?
Now, mind you, that drawer is just as good as my other stamp drawer. It's just separate.
Joe?
No mixing of the stamps in my house. Separate, but equal.
Joe, what is your last name?
Look. My wife licked a Malcolm X stamp yesterday. She got jungle fever.
Sir?
Took off with a garbage man. I haven't seen her since. Hello?
Good morning. May I help you?
Look, the last thing we need is a goddamn militant stamp with an agenda.
He was not a militant, okay?
You know, I sent off for a Civil War chess set 12 weeks ago. And my letter had a Malcolm X stamp on it. And you know what?
No.
I never got that chess set. Coincidence?
You are holding up my phone, sir.
I don't think so.
What more do you need from this number?
We need some equal time here. How about a George Wallace stamp? Hello?
May I help you?
Yes, sir. We seem to have been disconnected. Now, look, I got a way to deal with this Malcolm X stamp.
Sir?
I just put a James Earl Ray stamp on the other end of the envelope and let nature take its course.
Joe?
Dead letter office, if you know what I mean. Hello?
Can I help you?
Yes, sir. I put a Marilyn Monroe stamp next to a Malcolm X stamp, and he tried to rape her. Hello?
Good morning, may I help you?
Look, what kind of name is Malcolm X anyway? I mean, there ain't no names that start with X.
Excuse me?
What was he, Malcolm Xylophone? Hello?
Good morning, may I help you?
Look, as far as I'm concerned, Malcolm X stands for Malcolm X-Lax. Because I use that stamp to wipe my ass. Hello? Hello?
Okay, we're back. I think this is the fifth segment. It's around 11:44, quarter to midnight. Here the night of 2nd June, 2011, of the movement Turd, number 72.5. Now, there's been two things I've gone ahead and looked, and in both cases I see links to Trader Glenn Miller, both with Edgar Steele and with this Anchorage activist, a.k.a., David Pringle or something like that. He used to be a National Alliance TARD, and chances are still is a National Alliance TARD. I'm going to go ahead and cover, first, about this former Klan activist, and he's talking about how it caused him to break his 3-week moratorium. Well, the answer is that his 3-week moratorium is caused because he's been in jail over a child molestation case here. He needs to go ahead and come clean with this stuff here. David Pringle. Okay. So, I don't know if David Pringle hacked your computer, 1488. But let's go ahead and get to this right now. On his white reference page, he goes ahead and says, there's some good news that is enough to cause me to break my 3-week moratorium on posting. Job, ABAR, Great Falls, identify a former Klan organization, declares intent to run for Montana's lone U.S. House seat as a Republican. It goes ahead and goes on, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, folks, this sort of thing ain't going to go ahead and work. It's just playing it, doing stuff here. But you have this Dave Pringle, and from what I gather, he's just another one of these little tards who gets into white nationalism. And he makes a bunch of statements about how people ought to be run out of the movement. Now, if he ends up being convicted of being a child molester, even whether it's true or not, he's going to go ahead and find himself pretty well in the same boat as Kevin Alfred Strom, who he sort of likes here, and people are going to say that's creepy here because you have the chomos sticking together, National Alliance chomos sticking together. Now, folks, for the record, I don't think Kevin Alfred Strom was guilty. I think he was weak and stupid. And he went ahead and he went along with, taking a plea bargain or what have you. And, folks, I've been through the ringer on this sort of thing. And, folks, I believe that making a false child molestation complaint should lead in the death, not only of the criminal who goes ahead and makes a false child molestation complaint, but the death of the criminal's entire family, including their children. You put such children of regime criminals who make these false accusations to death here. Folks, what I stand for isn't individual extermination of individual regime criminals. I believe that the entire population needs to die because they are sick and twisted, and it is a total waste of time to talk about running for public office to where you're not going to win. You're just going to go ahead, and essentially this John A. Bell is just making a bit, is just playing at things here. He has no intention of winning, no chance of winning. Essentially, it's look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm a big white, I'm a big bad fighting for my own race here. Same way with this Ashkenazi asswipe, a.k.a. Anchorage activist, etc., etc., David Pringle. Now, in the comment section, and previous comment section, I went ahead and found out this character's name. And just like most chicken shits in this movement, he refused to go ahead and say who he was, although people knew exactly who he was. Now, folks, if he ends up being charged with child molestation, he's not going to go ahead. He's going to wait till he gets thrown in jail and convicted before he says, hey, it ain't true. I've been badly treated or something like that here. But looking at the comment section, because that's where you end up finding out about this stuff here. Anonymous here. Anonymous, under 11 comments, says, look like baby raper Anchorage activist finally got out on bail. Was it worth raping boys, this ass faggot? Folks, you end up having trash like that who have no problem with going ahead and going against another white nationalist activist here. Folks, your best bet is staying away from so-called white nationalists unless they have an actual plan like Carol Covington. Or just simply stay away from them altogether. You don't want to form an organization. My entire message is a dual seed line Christian identity, but it's also decentralization. To where I believe in 10,000 warlords. Not one warlord, not 100 warlords, not 1,000 warlords, 10,000. Now, will those 10,000 warlords be at war with each other? Chances are, yes. But folks, what I believe in getting your local person with leadership to go ahead and take the lead in order to safeguard the remnant is to go ahead and take over political power and put policemen, judges, lawyers, as well as Jews and Mamzers and MUDs, is to go ahead and take over the power and use that power in a civil war to go ahead and destroy and exterminate 90% of the Uyghurs. Because what we have is we have a Uyghur problem. We have a cancer. And essentially the cancer is the vast majority of the white race. The vast majority of Uyghurs are wanting to die. They want to destroy themselves. And all this movement drama, all this movement horseshit about bringing yourself up as a fearless leader in order to bring back the constipation, the bill of goods, is just so much horseshit. Right now, if you have 90% of the Uyghur population, which is feral Uyghurs, Shabbos Uyghurs, idiots, who want to die, who essentially just live off of other Uyghurs. You can't do anything with them. You can't do anything with them. One man cannot keep an eye on 13 Uyghurs and 16 or 17 MUDs, among which is a Jew or two, and the same as the rest are niggers and beaners and the rest here. So that's why there needs to be a great tribulation, where there's only 10 million remaining white people and 130 million Uyghurs and 160 million MUDs, Mamzers, Jews, niggers, gooks, whatever, die in this civil war. So, folks, I am not talking about organization. I'm not talking about imposing Babylon, Zog, upon you. In fact, I'm talking about destroying Zog, and Zog is doing a good job of destroying itself. Zog is destroying its dollar. Zog in Europe is destroying the euro. They're allowing their corrupt elites to pretty well live off of what little remains of a middle class. And in the meantime, Russ Walker was saying, is filling up with niggers, sand niggers, MUDs, Pakis, what have you. It's filling up with MUDs. Now, the very first thing that any white, that any normal civilization would do would be run them people out. But no, they're bringing them in. And they're making sure that the white people are not being allowed to go ahead and breed and recreate their own. And these stupid Jews and these stupid Uyghurs who lead us believe that somehow they're going to have a docile collection of niggers and MUDs and Mamzers and Beaners. And folks, these niggers and Beaners cannot be ruled docilely by their own kind. Why, Uyghurs, do you think that you're going to rule them? Because you're exceptional? Because you're special? It's not going to happen. But getting on, you had this little one character. From what I gather in the last 3 weeks, this David Pringle has possibly been in jail waiting to go ahead and get bailed out, on a child molestation case. Another anonymous said, AA, there's been reports you have been charged with crimes on a child, specifically sex crimes. Given your prior declarations that the movement needs to be cleaned out, you should address this matter for credibility's sake. If the charges are true, you should cease any further statements of a moral or judgmental nature. Well, I don't imagine that a fathead like Ashkenazi asswipe, Anchorage activist, I imagine he'll be just like Kevin Alfred Strom until he gets caught and convicted, and he'll go ahead and make the judgmental comments here. But it seems to me that he's probably already running scared. If the charges are false, you should remove those posts and ban those posters. In any event, your objectivity remains in question as you've shown a pattern of taking up for the lowest of the low in the non-movement. And folks, that's true. I was looking, doing a search on VNNF, and essentially, Ashkenazi asswipe loves Trader Glenn Miller. Loves this here little snitch. Loves this here little piece of shit. Now, generally, the comments section has been crowded out by fighting between the American Nazi Party or whatever with Jeff Shoup. And essentially, it's a dysfunctional bunch here. Fighting about mullet, fighting against mullet, fighting for this Rocky Suhadia, fighting against this John Taylor Bowles, what have you. And essentially, none of these people are anybody I would leave money to or trust with my wallet. But here you have Anchorage activist who went ahead and hid the fact that he's David Pringle. Why didn't you just say David Pringle? I mean, I would have known that the character is just a National Alliance tard and left it at that. Essentially, what he has to say means nothing. Your National Alliance was founded by Pierce. Pierce was essentially a Zogbot. Zog owned them. He got $400,000 from the order. Essentially, Zog knew about it, and they used him to go ahead and spy on the non-Christian identity bowel movement. At the same time, you end up having the SPLC and the Jews, essentially, using him as their false front opposition. Controls false front opposition here. So this David Pringle, he's just another tard here. From what I gather, he took over when Billy Roper got kicked out. And about the only National Alliance person I've ever seen who mattered worth a shit has been Billy Roper. There's much people who don't much care for Billy Roper among Christian identity, but you know, I really don't have any problem with Billy Roper. I mean, Billy Roper has never been anything other than polite to me. You know what I mean? He let me have my speak up in Topeka in 2004. But folks, here this character has been caught, and now the truth about who his name is and whether or not he has been charged, because looking down on it, another anonymous said, these so-called reports about AA being a pervert are about the same thing as the Phil Sprudegast AMP here. Okay. Looking on here. So from what I gather, he has been charged, and I guess he got out of jail recently. Who knows? So, well, good. At least he's gone ahead and kept up my movement turd thing here. Let me go ahead and say something. Whether or not I like Mr. David Pringle, Ashkenazi asswipe, Anchorage activist, however you want to call him, and I have no patience or tolerance with him sucking up to Trader Glenn Miller. None. None whatsoever. That's the deal. That's been my main objection, is sucking up to Trader Glenn Miller. If you go ahead and go with a known snitch or a known rat, then you are assumed, and I think correctly, to be a snitch or a rat yourself. Now, I don't think Mr. Pringle is a snitch or a rat. He's just another little tard playing at Nazi. But folks, I have been in Mr. Pringle's shoes. I have been falsely accused, essentially 3.5 years in nut house in the jail, until their bogus case fell apart the soonest available opportunity because my grandson refused to lie against me. And folks, the way I look at it is that what you do is that I don't have a bit of problem with rounding up the children of regime criminals, torturing those children to testify against their parents and grandparents, and essentially sending the entire family to a death camp. Going ahead and tearing out their head, their eyes, their tongues. Press to 666 if you even let them live. Skinning them out. Doing whatever needs to be done to these people because they're evil. They need to die so that the rest of the 90% of the Uyghurs, who also need to die, so that the remaining 10%, even if they hold Uyghur sympathy, they won't say anything about it at all. That'll be the end of them. And that's what needs to happen to society here. The sternest available justice needs to be done. And essentially, I don't believe in the Bill of Goods. I don't believe in constitutional protections. Neither does Zog. The Supreme Court has ruled that the pigs can do whatever the hell they want to. Well, I agree. The only difference between me and the Supreme Court is that we have a difference. Other than the Supreme Court, you know, the size of the spawn of Satan has a bunch of Jews on it. So they are the spawn of Satan. We're side with spawn of Satan. This is Zog Babylon. But folks, I do agree that the necessary police work needs to be done. And essentially, the police work consists of exterminating the regime criminals and 90% of the Uyghurs that go along with this in a great tribulation. And folks, this is going to happen. Folks, I'm not setting up any organization to be infiltrated. Essentially, I am just simply telling people that you have the power. When things turn bad here, when they are hunting you down, it's time for you to go on a hunting expedition of your own and deal with these people. I don't believe there's any one Hitler or any one Pol Pot or any one Joseph Stalin. I do believe that every single white man, when it comes down to it, if he has to be a hard man, he will be a hard man. But how do we get there from here? And the answer is that somebody like Mr. David Pringle, I believe he's innocent. If he goes ahead and gets tried and treated like poor old Edgar Steele, the Wigger Whimper, and he gets convicted by a bunch of ass clown Alaskans who want to show they're not racist, folks, I believe that Mr. Pringle is still innocent. You will never see me getting down on Mr. Pringle for being a child molester, convicted or unconvicted. You will see me getting down on Mr. Pringle for siding with Traitor Glenn Miller. That is unacceptable. That is totally unacceptable. I went ahead and looked here, and the last post by Ashkenazi activist here was, that is correct. As soon as Rounder put out the word here, I also put the word out here. A number of anti-racists were spreading crap about Cobb, and I wanted to get the most current information out on the web. So here he is, it's July 10th, 2010, essentially sucking up to Traitor Glenn Miller. From my gather, he hasn't posted anything since July 10th, but he's still sucking up to Traitor Glenn Miller. And that's a no-no. Speaking of Traitor Glenn Miller, let's go ahead and get to Edgar Steele. Edgar Steele has accepted money from Traitor Glenn Miller. Traitor Glenn Miller loves doing that because he likes associating himself with actual movement heroes. Now, is Edgar Steele really a hero? And the answer is no. He's just a lawyer who wanted to play at being a white nationalist. And now he is finding that he has to end up paying the price. There are people who claim he's batshit insane. This guy, these people are going after this Donald E. Pauley. I would not trust Mr. Pauley, because Mr. Pauley is essentially saying that Edgar Steele is insane over on VNNF here, on the Edgar Steele charged in murder for hire plot. In any case, getting on with, I mean, folks, if you have some supporter like Donald E. Pauley on your side, I mean, it's just like having Hadding or Traitor Glenn Miller on your side. It's not a good idea. But let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and look at the. Let's go ahead and look at the last. Oh, about Edgar Steele. Last page. It's about, what, they're up to 1,721 different posts here. Let me see. Ah! Go ahead and get to it. Okay. All right, folks. We have this latest letter, and you have Traitor Glenn Miller posting it. And, folks, I'm going to go ahead. That's what I got with Cindy Steele. Before I read Cindy Steele's letter, here you have Traitor Glenn Miller. Every single time, he goes ahead and he buys his way in. He buys his way in. Where does he have the money from? He comes from Zog. Postcard from Cindy. I received this postcard from Cindy about a week ago. Dear Glenn, thank you for your support and for George T's support. I'll send him a thank you note for his last two donations, $150 and $125. The work toward Ed's freedom will continue. Cindy, end of postcard. To donate to the Edgar Steele Defense Fund, send check, cash, money order, Cindy Steele, P.O. Box 12566, Sagal, you know, Idaho, 83860. You have this tard named Donald Pauley, and Donald Pauley turned on Edgar Steele when some other tard went ahead and became head of his Free Edgar Steele webpage here. So, you have John Liberty goes ahead and posting about how it's pretty well obvious that you're a Zogbot and troll going on here. I mean, yeah, I think this Donald Pauley is just another little movement tard. But from what I gather, Edgar Steele posted just a little bit ago. He posted yesterday his very first thing about his particular thing. Now, folks, in the Bannock County Jail, they would not allow him to receive books. And, folks, that's not lawful. I used to have this shit in the Newton County Jail. And also, at the nut house to where, you cannot read this, you cannot read that. Well, why can't I? Well, you're being accused of child molestation. Well, I said, yeah, I'm being, you know, whatever I'm being accused of. And I do believe in exterminating and skinning alive my accusers, my false accusers, but be that as may, I've not been convicted of anything yet. It is not your job, because guess what? The whole purpose of the jail is to make sure that I stand, you know, that I am available to stand trial. And folks, you have unlawfully denied me bail. So as a result, what you're doing is that you are punishing me unlawfully. And folks, I believe that if you are a regime criminal who uses your power to go ahead and make up rules for somebody else, I believe that there ought to be a little game of Simon Says. And what happens is you lose the game of Simon Says when your kids gets tipped into a fire pit or an acid pit or something like that. And essentially what happens, we play Simon Says until there's only one regime criminal left. And then we go ahead and skin them out. Folks, I stand for essentially one side or the other needs to die. Now, right now under Zog, they're working on destroying the white race. They're out to destroy Yahweh's servant nation. So it is stupid to allow regime criminals, be they Uyghur or non-white, to live. You use whatever power you have to destroy your enemies. I'm looking at this thing about Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee was a loser. Robert E. Lee should have gone ahead and essentially kept his main army intact. He wanted to be the George Washington of Southern independence. He should have done the same thing George Washington did. Every single time George Washington was outnumbered, after the first couple times, he got beat at Long Island. He got beat in New York. He managed to evacuate his army. And after that, George Washington never fought against the British unless he thought he could possibly win. What Lee did is he defended Richmond. Did George Washington defend Boston? Nope. Did George Washington defend New York? Nope. Did George Washington defend Philadelphia? Nope. But Lee was stuck continually defending Richmond. What Lee should have done is kept about a couple thousand man army and act as a mobile force to cause the Union to spend its lives and the lives of its bravest soldiers on frontal attacks. Lee ended up, in some cases, costing more Confederate casualties than Union casualties. Robert E. Lee was not a very good general. And in Gettysburg, he lost a third of his army, charging for a mile uphill in an open field against rifle muskets. Robert E. Lee, in many cases, was a worse general than Ambrose Burnside, who did the same stupid shit in this big old crater that he created. So, what Robert E. Lee should have done is probably maintained about an army of about 20,000 to cost the Union, if they went ahead with a big army, to lose. To go ahead and lose the lives of its bravest men. And the rest of the things, he should have gone ahead and split up his forces into 1,000 man, the 1,000 man, at most, raiding organizations. The way he should have done is he should have gone into Ohio and Pennsylvania and Illinois and Indiana and essentially went on a big burning, looting, robbing, raping expedition. And pretty well tell the North that guess what? You don't want us back. And that's what they were worried about in April 1865, that Robert E. Lee would go ahead and start a guerrilla war. Now, the Boers did the same thing. They were outnumbered in their own country. And initially, they won the battles. But after 2 years, they started losing them because they got incompetent generals who believed, well, hey, since we won, we'll do the same thing. Well, no, the British learned. The Boers should have learned. Instead, they went and broke up into commandos. The same thing should have happened. You should have had soldiers like Mosby and Nathan Bedford Forrest in charge of a couple thousand man units. And what they do is go on a raiding expedition to destroy the will, just like Sherman did. What Sherman did to Georgia and South Carolina, Nathan Bedford Forrest should have done to Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Maryland. Essentially, gone ahead and taught Abraham Lincoln the little lesson is that you don't want us back in here. Folks, you always escalate. If you are fighting for your freedom, you always escalate the situation to where there's nothing more to fight over other than not only maintaining your power but actually getting to live. But getting on with this, you have Trader Glenn Miller sucking up, and here is Edgar Steele and his wife essentially taking Trader Glenn Miller at his word. Folks, Trader Glenn Miller has always been a snitch. He's been a drunken Anglo-Mestizo snitch from day one. But here you have these people at this jail. They have all sorts of little laws. Now, folks, if you go ahead and punish a prisoner, when you don't have the authority to do so, you yourself, your life and your family's life ought to be forfeited. I've made it quite clear, and I've pretty well shown in the Bible that a regime criminal's life, not only does a regime criminal have to die, his entire family has to die. And thus, you make sure that you don't have a bunch of parasites and criminals get over Yahweh's servant nation. Yahweh himself insisted that Saul's sons and grandsons die, but first he went ahead and starved out for 3 years the children of Israel under David's rule. Yahweh insisted that Ahab and Jezebel and Ahab's entire family and his regime criminal court die. Folks, that's Yahweh's law, is that if you are in power, you are absolutely responsible for what you do, but also, not only are you responsible as a regime criminal, but any Uyghur that supports you is responsible. We already pointed out during the First Israelite War, the Israelite-Benjamite War, is that the entire tribe of Benjamin, except for 600 men, were exterminated in this Benjamite War. So here you have these sanctimonious bastards over at Bonner County, and they will not allow Edgar to have his choice of reading material. Even though the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court has said, hey, guess what, you don't get to censor. You certainly don't get censored if you're not guilty. The purposes of jails is not to torture people into confessing so you can send them to prison, although that's exactly what they're being used for now. The purpose of these jails is to make sure that people who you cannot trust to show up in time or show up at all are there for judicial proceedings here. And recently, the United States Supreme Court, by a ruling at 8-0, went ahead and ruled that it was perfectly acceptable in the case of Ashcroft versus Al-Kid. That's perfectly acceptable to go ahead and kidnap somebody under pretense that he's a material witness and keep him jailed and send him to foreign countries to be tortured. And guess what? Ashcroft has absolute immunity? Well, folks, this belief in absolute immunity means that, hey, guess what? There's a new regime. The new regime gets to go ahead and do whatever the hell it wants to the regime criminals and their families of the old regime then, don't they? In short, there is no limit on power. As long as you have power, you get to use it as well you want to. Well, guess what, folks? That's a perfect recipe for civil war. A perfect recipe for civil war. And I do believe that invitation will be taken up sooner or later. But the reason Edgar Steele did not go ahead and go along with it is that his wife was able just to drive a couple miles into town and visit Edgar. So he didn't go ahead and go on with his threatened lawsuit. But the very last minute he found out that he was going to be sent out from Bonner County, probably to some other place, where they're going to go ahead and keep him in seclusion like they did over in Spokane. They threatened, what, Seattle, Tacoma? Federal site. And essentially what they're working on doing is that they are working on murdering him or forcing him to admit there's some truth to the matter. Folks, if I had been convicted of bogus child molestation cases, as I said before, I'd have simply made is that, guess what, jury? Guess what, the rest of you? You have no problem. You have no moral problem with somebody going ahead and rounding up people's children and torturing them into confessing against their parents and grandparents. You used to whine like pussies when the Soviet Union used to do that sort of thing. What happens is you're worse than the Soviet Union. You're worse than China. You have pursued a Jew policy of evil. But here's Edgar. He decides that he's not going to go ahead and fight that because he wants to stay in the Bannock County Jail and be able to visit his wife every couple times a week. But then he finds out that he's going to be settled anyway, so he decides to send out a letter. And here it is, Traitor Glenn Miller wrapping himself around the Patriot. Prefaced by Cindy Steele, June 1st, 2011. As hard as they may try, they are not going to silence Edgar J. Steele. Well, they have silenced Edgar J. Steele. Edgar's been silenced. You've been silenced. Yes, our hopes for justice might have been crushed temporarily with the tragedy of my husband, Edgar J. Steele, unjust conviction. For our children and I, it's been devastating a time when the government has proven itself corrupt, especially in targeting and attacking the innocent who are outspoken. Now it looks as if victory silences innocent man who stood up for freedom of speech in our once great nation, a nation known as America, the land of captive people, home to government cowards. While serious illnesses slowed him down for 6 months in 2010, the government took him out of circulation for another year, he and all those who helped contribute to his defense. Now Ed is going to say loud and outspoken as he as possibly can be. Well, folks, he didn't get louder and spoken until he found out that he was going to be moved out of Bonner County to somewhere else. Just as we had known him to be in his past writings, so despite his keeping him behind cell walls, he was writing with hopes of having enough material for a book or two. Well, guess what? It's going to be a book tour, huh? Meanwhile, he's asked a portion of his work be shared with everyone so his voice can start to be heard again. Below is Edgar J. Steele's first writing since his arrest last year on June 11, 2010. Seeing is disbelieving, Edgar J. Steele. Well, I'm going to cut to the end of it here. I was finally seeing some of the mail sent to me in recent months. However, I'm again being moved at this moment. No one knows where, so please visit www.freeedgarsteele.com for updates on where to send mail. Folks, he got moved out. He got moved out quick enough. And going on to where he says, I'm going to read portions of it. There are things in life defy belief. Seeing them off as nuts to set one a path towards seeing unbelievable things that have returned. Seeing is disbelieving. Huh. The Red Queen of Alice in Wonderland found she often believed in impossible things, as many as six of them, all just before lunch, too. A great many people are now willing to disbelieve in the inherent justice of the American justice system. They watched a jury in Boise convict me of four federal felonies. Sigh, where to begin? You could be next. This story will take some time and require several installments. If you have anything here of it, you will not believe it. You may not believe it anyway. I do, however. I'm living it. All too easily, you could be next. I'm convicted of hitching a plot to kill my wife, where I allegedly hired an oafish Idaho handyman as a hitman. Already something may not sound quite right to you. In any case, he goes on and says, well, why would he want to kill his wife? And the answer, I have no idea. He said he communicated with young Ukrainian women with his wife's consent and even assistance. He says he loves his wife. He says his way. At my lawyer's request, I have kept silent, although not silent enough, about my case. Well, he probably should not have said anything, and I think that's quite right. I've made no public statements till today. I've yet to speak with anyone from any media outlet. I bit my tongue during my recent trial, and against my better judgment, agreed not to take the stand to testify on my own behalf. Fat lot of good all that has done me. Well, yeah. Yeah, Edgar, you got you a lawyer. I told you, I could have told you, don't get your own lawyer. Hell, you're supposed to be a lawyer yourself, even though you're not a very good one. No more. I did it my lawyer's way, and now at age 65, I am facing a mandatory minimum sentence of 30 years, and 70 years a very real possibility. Obviously, any sentence over 10 years is redundant to my life expectancy, especially in view of the medical problems I have seen in recent years. Now we are going to do it my way, which will likely involve a great deal of sound and fury. So he says, first up is a motion for a new trial, which the federal judge will reject in summary fashion. So he's going to have to rely on appeal. It should be a laid down appeal, though, because the judge repeatedly committed reversible error. Okay, well, that's true. Folks, the judicial system is just nothing more than just a bunch of thieves covering up for other thieves. Now, folks, what I believe in is that if someone wrongs you, you hunt them down, you hunt down his family, and you destroy them. That's what Yahweh's law said. Yahweh's law didn't have any provision for police and for jails or anything like that. It was self-help justice. If someone went ahead and killed or murdered your brother, you had a duty as an avenger of blood to hunt this character down and kill him. And if his family wouldn't give him up, you killed them too. Now, what was the end result of all that? The end result of that was to where the nation of Israel cleansed itself of the weak, the corrupt, the stupid. Because, folks, if you were going to go ahead and commit a criminal act, you better have a support system, a family support system that won't give you up and that will go ahead and, if necessary, kill those who you have wronged and their entire family. So the essential portion of Israelite justice was to found a strong nation. Now, folks, if you end up having a worthless piece of shit as a brother, and you knew the character was guilty as hell, in many cases it would be better to let that character give up to the avenger of blood. But on the other hand, if you end up having a local tyrant who was, you know, a local bully, a bunch of little Jew Canaanites doing wrong to you, the whole purpose was to go ahead and destroy them and any Whigger who went in and supported them. The purpose of Israelite justice was to go ahead and create a strong, biologically strong servant nation. Not for power, for some Jew, for some Whigger, for some regime criminal who wanted more than his fair share of what he could earn himself. The whole purpose of Israelite law was not money, was not to go ahead and increase the power of the Israelite state. No, the whole purpose was to go ahead, and it would act as a sort of breeding program to whether other white Adamites could be brought into the Israelite fold. But mainly, the Israelite people would, through minimum law, go ahead and just simply, it was a rather human system of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the whole purpose of Israelite law. But getting on, what really happened, here's the executive summary. He talks about his Idaho hitman, Larry Fairfax, who went ahead and plotting, a bomb here, and then making a federal case out of it. Why did Larry go to the FBI and fess up to his part? Well, exchange for full immunity. Well, he didn't get full immunity. He only got, 27 months? Of course, he has to get out of the way before I discovered his theft here. Essentially, what he did is that he went ahead and planted a bomb on his wife's or his vehicle, and the vehicle left the state of Idaho. Oh, Ed, he lives on the panhandle of Idaho. It's not very far to Montana. It's not very far to Washington. Essentially, that's where Ed, that's pretty well what made a federal case of it. Shouldn't have been a federal case, but it was. Essentially, Zog wanted to go ahead and dispose of him. Now, I don't see why. Edgar, to my view, is not much of a white nationalist. I just called him a wigger whimper. He didn't like my response. But, in any case, getting on with it, Edgar ended up being railroaded. And yes, he's been given a death sentence. He might very well be murdered, just like James Von Brunn was. Old Jimmy wasn't remorseful for going to the Hoax Museum with his old .22 rifle. I don't think he actually killed the nigger. I think the Panky niggers went ahead and killed themselves. But essentially, since he wasn't remorseful, he didn't give a crap what happened to him. He didn't expect to come back. They went ahead and sent him to St. Elizabeth's Hospital. And there, they doped him up and murdered him. That's what Zog does, murder old men. Even when they just allegedly murder old men, like Osama bin Laden. One of the things I've been doing not having electricity and internet, I was reading actual books, and I was reading these dollar books. First, by Richard Clark, talk about how to change the terrorism thing here. And the second one is this book about Osama bin Laden family, the bin Laden family, starting out with the Yemeni refugee, Mohammed bin Laden. And also talking about bin Laden's many brothers and sisters. Well, brothers mainly. Sisters don't really count in Arabic law, Muslim law. But folks, you end up having to wear, essentially they're a big Muslim family that supports this crooked regime, which has absolutely no legitimacy, run by this old bandit named Abdul Aziz Ibn Saud, who went ahead with his bunch of bandits, managed to go ahead and conquer sometime around when the Turks got run out. And folks, until they found oil in the 30s, Saudi Arabia was conquered all the time, even though there wasn't much there to conquer, because all you had was just a bunch of, you had Mecca, you had Medina, but mostly all you had was just a bunch of Bedouins wandering with their camels and their goats and their sheep through the desert. So that's what, Ibn Saud did. He went in, conquered. He went in, got these poor Bedouins. I'm your king. And he got them as religious fanatics to go against the rich merchants of Mecca and Medina, and a few other towns. And he was just a bandit who went ahead and took over from when the thirst got run out. So yeah, I've had time to go ahead and read a number of books here while I've been pretty well sent out. Now, folks, I do feel for Edgar Steele. I really do. Edgar Steele, I believe, is innocent. But even if he was not innocent, even if he is guilty as hell, folks, you do not side with Zog. Let's say Mr. Pringle is guilty. Is guilty of whatever the hell he's accused of. Is it up to Zog or Zog's jury to go ahead and determine his guilt or innocence? And the answer is no, it is not. Now, folks, if he likes molesting children here, well, I'd probably give him a whole bunch of little Zog children and let him molest away. Because these regime criminals deserve no less. But, folks, among white nationalists, Zog does not have any right, any moral authority to try any white nationalist. Only we do. Only we do. And what needs to be done to Zog and Zoglings is so horrendous. I mean, I never could find it in my heart to go across individual murderers, if they were white, who murdered their dad, like my Bishop of Fulton, now St. Joseph, who killed his daddy with a claw hammer, and contrary to Obergenderbender's claim, it was 23 whacks, is actually, according to him, only 13 whacks of claw hammer. You see, folks, how would I get off bitching about people going ahead and killing people who may or may not deserve it, retail matter, when I believe that 130 million Uyghurs and 160 million muds and Jew cruds need to die? Is my guilt, what, 130 plus 160, what, would that be 290 million times greater than the guy who killed his father with a claw hammer? And the answer is no. These people aren't human. These people do not need to be treated as human. They need to be treated as diseased animals that need to die. But folks, it's sort of been difficult for me to go ahead and get on a high horse about people, whether they're sane or insane, killing one or two people. In fact, I did like, there are a number of murderers who I did actually like. There were personable people here. Some of them real nice people here. In many cases, they were nutty as can be. I mean, totally fucked up in the head when they did it. And some people are homicidal maniacs. And the Israelite system, they would be put to death for, essentially, you don't allow people like that to run wild. And since there's no prisons or anything like that to essentially take care of them, essentially, if you went ahead and killed your daddy with a claw hammer in Israelite law, essentially what it boiled down to is that your family would be allowed to put you to death. Or not. It's up to the family to decide what is in their best interest, not the government. You see, Zog does not care for the race and certainly doesn't care for individual people. All it cares for is doing whatever the hell it wants to do. So, as a result, that is Israelite law and Israelite justice. It's self-help in many cases. And folks, the only thing that's going to go ahead and save us as a race and as a people is this great tribulation that is coming, that is getting closer every single day and that is rushing upon us like a freight train. Well, I haven't heard any click, click, or beep, beep here. I may have a computer problem. But folks, getting back with it. Let me go ahead and see if, Okay, I'm still... Okay, it looks like mass 1488 here. Got to hit the day. Okay. Anyway, it looks like mass 48, you know, left here. So we don't have very many people left here, but getting on with it. Made a federal case of it. He says at the very end, the ADL's internet site here, HitSpeak, was recorded the very first court filing coincidence. The FBI is alleged by conspiracy theorists to be in bed with the ADL. It's not controlled by the ADL, and it is. Everything's controlled by the Jews. Obongo is controlled by the Jews. He went ahead and spoke out of turn about return to 1967 borders. And old Bibi Netanyahu, the Jew clown, went ahead and told Obongo, told put the nigger in his place. Told him, hey, guess what? No. No, 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 pet nigger. You're going to go ahead and keep sending, you know, Uyghur money to Israel to keep on giving us Uyghur, you know, guns. And we're going to go ahead and rebuild the settlements. And when we have gone ahead and expelled, stolen everything, we'll go ahead and leave them with no water out in the desert, living in trailers, to where you can go ahead and cut them off whenever the hell we want to. And guess what? Uyghurs are going to pay for it. Essentially, the Jews are the tail that walks the Zog dog, that wags the Zog dog. So, getting on with it, he's going on saying, well, what's the big deal? My word against the Idahuns. So I should be exonerated without a fight. That would be true if not for those pesky audio recordings that Larry and the FBI claim memorialized my hiring Larry the Idahun hitman. But let's save that story for the next installment in this epic affair, Sex, Lies, and Audio Tapes. There's so much more to come. The Russian mafia intrigue, teenage beauty queens, official and unofficial corruption, mail order brides, Hannibal, Edgar, the Two of Ed, private jets, Tahiti, and more, believe it or not. Remember, seeing is disbelieving. So he promises quite a bit, but he comes up with the very end. I was finally seeing some of the mail in recent months. However, I'm once again being moved out at this moment, no one knows where. So please visit freeedgarsteele.com for updates on where to send mail. Folks, Edgar pretty well agreed with Cindy that guess what? He would try to stay in the Bonner County Jail so that he could see his wife. And now they shipped him somewhere else off here. And they don't know where, from what I gather, if I go to the Free Edgar Steele site here. Maybe I can find out later. But folks, getting to it, what is the code of conduct for white nationalists? And the answer is the code of conduct for white nationalists is you will not support traitors, you will not support regime criminals, you will not support anybody who sides with Zog. If somebody's an informant or a regime criminal, and they tolerate someone who is an informant. Folks, I will not lie, cheat, steal, and honor code. I will not collaborate with Zog, and I will not tolerate anyone who does in any way, shape, or form. I will not believe Zog lies. I won't believe a jury. I won't believe anyone who's siding with Zog. And folks, anybody who does go ahead and violates that code, that resistance code of honor, essentially you mark them and you understand that so that when the day comes, and the day will come, it's coming soon, that you deal with these traitors and criminals. You see, there's a reason that traitors and criminals like Liar Bill DeCluse and Traitor Glenn Miller didn't want to be alone with me. They sort of thought that Lynn said he's crazy. He's insane. He might very well just do something that comes into his head, sort of like Ray Redfern, and just pull a gun and shoot my worthless ass dead. And then claim that, hell, my word against his, or me and Roxy's word against his, that I went for a gun or a knife or whatever. And so you end up having someone like Liar Bill who comes down, who wants to snoop and sneak and snitch, sing like a big lump of dog shit, because that's all he knows how to do, in order to go ahead and create a pretext for a lie, but who picks up a perfectly acceptable spaghetti dinner. Or Trader Glenn Miller, when I mentioned David Lane and Catch, you know, David Catch a Lane and Lewis Bean, got all green and ran out of my trailer. These people are scared. They know what they deserve. They know that they're traitors. They know they're liars. They know that they're snitches, folks. But folks, if you're going to go ahead and believe a traitor, a liar, and a snitch, and claims to be a white nationalist, folks, believe they are a Zogbot, a Zog Asian provocateur. They're a traitor. They're a Zogling. And folks, mark them and understand that, hey, they will not get away with their treason, their racial treason. They and their worthless families need to be destroyed. And this time that's coming up ahead in the Great Tribulation will be the time in which it occurs. Because it says that unless Jesus Christ should return for the remnant's sake. So that means that there will be a remnant. And that Jesus Christ is returning for them. But unless Jesus Christ should return for there to be a remnant, to save that remnant, no flesh should be saved. And by no flesh, I mean only white people. I don't really care what happens to gooks or niggers or anything like that. And essentially, neither is the Bible. They're just a bunch of animals. Folks, it's already written in the Bible what will happen. All you have to do is understand it. Have a little bit of faith. Have a little bit of knowledge. Because Jesus Christ called you. Jesus Christ, unlike these people in Joplin, wants you to live. It's Jesus Christ's will that you should live. It's Jesus Christ's will that you should go ahead and fight. And if necessary, kill. And if you're not willing to go ahead and do that, get the hell out of the way. Just crawl off, run off, make yourself hidden. Go ahead and pray to, you know, to the mountains to hide you, because you cannot face the Lamb of God, like it says will happen in Revelation. Oh, and by the way, most of the prophecy has yet to be fulfilled. So folks, this is going to be this last segment of the Movement Turd. It's, well, it's 12:43, about 12:45. So I will say, Hail Victory, may Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Zogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out God's soul. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed. Hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.